Hey, we talk about the things other people are too afraid to talk about. Did Jay Cutler poop in the ocean?
Hello, network errors. Welcome to Sports, the podcast that ends with a question mark but starts with a question. I'm Katie Nolan, I think. She's Ashley.
Hi.
He's Jay.
Hello.
And I have a bunch of questions, but this is today's question.
Hey, Katie, Ashley, and Jay. This is Richard. And at first, I was kind of cool with the whole social distancing thing, but now I could use some companion in my own place. So if you could choose two sports figures, past or present, to be quarantined with, who would you want to be stuck in your place with? Thank you. Love you. Mean it.
Love you, mean it too, Richard. I thought you said, when he said stuck in, I thought he said something else. I was like, well, that changes the question.
We don't do that on this podcast,
Richard. We couldn't answer that question because we do not objectify athletes. And so.
Oh, boy.
Which two athlete, do you want to be stuck inside with? Well, you know, I would pick Jay Cutler, but then we saw his, because he's just entertaining. He's just a dick. And if we get two, you get a buffer there. So I could get somebody who's not a dick and we could just kind of make fun of Jay Cutler. But we've seen how Jay Cutler quarantines and it's very problematic. And so
true.
I also think Jay Cutler would be very good at leaving you alone, which would kind of sometimes is nice.
That's huge. But
sometimes you want the companionship and sometimes you're like, I need to sit in a dark, quiet room by myself. And Jay would be like, peace. I'm going to go
really
watch
smart.
Goats on a live stream. So I don't hate that. Although athlete, or would we call him one?
Yes. I was thinking Serge Ibaka because I want somebody who
can
cook.
Yeah.
I miss having like nice meals. Like I've had a lot of pasta, a lot of sandwiches, a lot of cereal, you know, and I want like a nice, really well-prepared meal. So here's my first thought.
That's a smart one.
Plus, if I have anything like on top of my kitchen cabinets, he can grab it for me without me needing to get a chair. So
being quarantined with a tall guy is huge. Like changing light bulbs has been a breeze.
I was thinking immediately went to Juju Smith-Schuster
because you love
he's
that
fun.
Dog. Yeah.
Oh, and Bougie could come. That's a great idea.
And he loves playing video games. I also love playing video games. Feel
it's
like
a
it would be
choice.
A really good solid friendship.
It's a really good choice. I don't know if I could do Juju because I have a new puppy in the house as of Saturday.
Oh.
If Bougie and Myrtle don't get along, Bougie's got to go.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
this
go.
Is a Myrtle, it's a Myrtle household. we each gave one.
As a dog-free household.
One's
fun,
though.
As the people who never can just pick one answer, he literally asked us for two, and we're all like, I don't have any.
I think the thing is that we're great at not responding to the voicemail.
Yeah. That's what we have. The common denominator is we just don't like answering your questions.
Just tweak them a little bit.
We just do what we want.
Right. Right.
Well, Richard, I hope that kind of answered your question. My answer was Jay Cutler. What a terrible... It's been a bad day. We've been having technical issues. I'm very stressed out. And so Jay Cutler is the answer. And then probably halfway through the pod, I'll go, oh, you know who? And I'll change my answer. But for now, I hope that answered your question. And if you have a question you'd like us to not even answer even a little bit, you can always
leave off a voicemail.
That's right. At 860-506-5571.
Yeah, she did it.
Finally.
did you look that for real?
No, I didn't. You can tell because I can't do both things at once. Hi, friendly banter.
Hi.
Here's the deal. Here's what I'm thinking. So March is over. So we're done with brackets, which, you know, I'm not putting a period on that sentence. Who knows? We've got nothing to talk about. So maybe we dip back into the bracket pool later. But for now, we decided today we're just going to do basically a host chat pod to like talk about news and stuff we've seen because, I don't know if it's weird for you guys, but it's weird for me. Like there's no work office space where we can just discuss A, things happening in our lives that are separate from everybody else, but B, like shared things that we're seeing in the news that like, your thoughts on. So I was thinking we just do a host chat podcast and the three of us just catch up and muster.
Sounds great.
It works for me.
Great.
Sounds great. Before we do that, just really quickly, sorry.
All right. You know,
we're still in quarantine.
I don't think the
can't
point
leave.
don't think the point of a drop is to stop all momentum so that we pause and the drop play. I feel like
That's where I think you should leave the producing to me. That's really my
job here.
So I really appreciate the notes, but again, stepping on some toes.
I'll just kick off the original host chat, not Myrtle News. Don't get excited. I was just going to bitch.
Did
for
you
a
see
second.
Me getting ready for my?
Yes. I just wanted to complain for a second that I have run into a IT issue that now more than ever is the most annoying thing in the world. I have my work laptop that was having, I feel like we talked about this like three March Madnesses ago when we did the upset bracket about things that upset me. Our work laptops have this keychain access thing that remembers your passwords that you, cause ESPN makes us change our passwords every 6 months.
Minutes.
And so like, this keychain thing will be like, we can't get access to Google Chrome. Put in your password. And then I'll put it in. It's like, no, it's not that one. And then I have to go through all my old passwords. Anyway, I finally fixed that. But what I think it did was cut me off from my remote access to anything ESPN. So now when I need to update Google Chrome, which I needed to do in order to do this podcast, it wouldn't let me do that. So then I had to do the virtual IT thing where I let a lady named Cecilia come into my computer, start messing around with stuff. And all she did was click on a couple things and go, oh, you don't have it. And I was like, right, so what do I need to do? And she was like, someone will email you. So now I'm on an old laptop, which is garbage. Doris can't even look me in the eye. I don't know what to do. I'm like, this is so stressful. I feel like I know in advance that the audio quality is going to be bad. And I'm just like, somebody make it work.
Here's the thing. It's working. I think people are going to be forgiving of bad audio quality and grateful that we're trying our best. You know,
I just don't want to, what all I'm saying is please don't make me sing a song because I'm not going to be lined up with the music. Oh. I just know that.
Yeah, that's true.
I line it up for you.
No,
I don't think that that's something that I can.
Jay, you think that makes me feel more calm? Oh, Jay's going to produce it. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
Well, there are no facts in it. So,
yeah, it's just music. And Christina's going to hook it up. It's going to be great.
I would rather have Mariah produce it. Speaking of Mariah, shout out Mariah, loyal fan. Shout out producer Camille, just because. For anybody who's been following our dogs.
It's a good segue. Hey, Andy.
Are you in Jurassic Park right now?
I like that your instinct is to cover the microphone.
Well,
like, that's going to make any difference.
I'm trying to mitigate the damage.
She doesn't have a mute button, Katie. She needs to
Ashley. Hey, Ashley, it's literally right here.
Right in front of my face.
Anyway. She covers it with
her hands. I love the mute button more than anybody. I love the mute button.
I know. So, segue. I got a dog.
Yeah! Ooh, that sounded really bad.
Hey, welcome to my world. That's always what it sounds like. So as you heard, everybody, there were three dogs being fostered by our friend Kelly, who's down the street from me. She's got a Katie, a Jay, and an Ashley. Now, what I have learned since the last podcast is that Ashley is a nightmare. Ashley is the worst. She eats stuff.
Well, we get hungry.
She has six extra toes on her back feet.
Highly evolved.
She's an overachiever who she's just a nightmare.
She got an 800 on her SAT math. She's
apparently
doing too much.
Jay, better vision's 2010 as well. So
actually dogs have better vision than that, but not from, but at night. Okay. So I've been reading a lot of dog books. So, I wanted Katie, but I'm not going to keep a dog named Katie. It's just a weird precedent to set for my boyfriend to be out here like, Katie's being a real bitch today. And I'm like, which one? But so we applied for her. There was a lot of, we were freaked out because they got taken down the first day they got listed on the website of the shelter because there were so many applicants. And I was like, ugh, which I probably knew because they're real cute pups.
They're real cute pups.
But so we were like, oh no, this might not happen. And then yesterday I got a phone call that I've never talked to an adoption agency, so I didn't know, like, if it was going well or not. And then at the end, she was like, all right, well, I'm going to go ahead and approve you. And I was like, what? We get a dog? And so I ran out. I ran out into the living room and was like, "We got the dog!" And my boyfriend was in the middle of work. He was working, and whoops. But so we got the dog. Have I already told you what we're naming her and gone through all the whys on this podcast? I believe so. Okay, so her name's Myrtle, which is named after a Rocket League character, and because Ja Rule voice. It's Myrtle, which is just hilarious. So we got Myrtle. She's coming on Saturday. I'm so excited. Yes. I have downloaded so many dog books. I'm going to make a trip out tomorrow into the world to go to the store to buy like all the stuff I need because there's a pet supply store that's still open. Thank God, because Amazon is like, yeah, we can. What?
How is she getting to you?
She's down the street from me. So I just have to go.
You're just picking her up from Kelly.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense. Sorry. Keep going.
Also, I don't think we're supposed to say that I've been hanging out with her, but hopefully the place doesn't listen to this podcast. Anyway, we are, what was I just going to say? Oh, thank God, because Amazon's been telling me like, oh, you need this essential dog supply? We can get that to you by May 3rd. And I'm like, I can't wait that long. I am probably coming. So we're going to the store, going to get the stuff. Crazier part of the story is that is that Indy snoring? Crazier part of the story is that Mariah, fan of the pod, friend of the pod, got Jay.
She did.
She did.
It's crazy.
It's amazing. Yeah.
You guys both sound freaked out. You're both reacting very weirdly to this news.
Well, you know, I'm feeling a little bit bad for Ashley. I'm feeling a little bit left out, but I'm trying not to make this about me.
Ashley has a mom. I've seen her. She exists. She's not getting adopted.
Oh, she got adopted?
Yeah, okay, I told you the three of them. Nobody knows she's a monster. Just us.
She'll kind of like it. It's probably just
it's kind of like it's kind of like regular Ashley. Only the people who really know her know what a monster she is.
Oh, that's not true.
So I found out
that's
on Twitter.
That's not
last
true.
Night.
Is something that you say when somebody when you're afraid of somebody because they're a monster? Go ahead, Jason.
What? I would never want. No. So I found out on Twitter last night. I saw Mariah posted a tweet that was like, "Oh my God, you guys, this is my dog," and it was a photo of dog Jay, and I like was like, "Oh my God, are you adopting me?" And she's like, "Yeah, but I'm changing its name." And then I was like, "Whoa, that hurts." But then Kelly jumped in and was like, "He's the most Jay of all the Jays, more Jay than Jay." And so then I was like, "Keep the name."
No, 100% no. You suggested she name it Wolf, which I feel like is worse because it's even more tied to you. Mariah, do not name your dog Jay. No. Do not do it. You can't
Or do it. You know,
no,
like, who's
don't
to say
do it. What's,
who
what
has,
she get, like, if someone's it. Like, "Why'd you name your dog Jay?" She'll be like, "Oh, well, there's this podcast I listen to, and there's the guy named Jay." Like, no,
it's stupid. Also,
I feel like if you meet Mariah, you the first thing she's going to talk about is our podcast. Is that weird?
Yeah, it is weird. Assuming she doesn't have a life. Mariah has a very rich life. She's thriving.
No, I know.
Like, she's doing multiple things. She just also listens to the podcast. Don't name your dog Jay. It's silly. I have moved on immediately from even the thought of this dog ever being named Kelly. Yeah. I mean, Katie. I told Kelly to start calling her Myrtle so she gets adjusted to it. It's not, I don't feel bad at all. She just named it that because it was two girls and one boy. And she listens to our podcast. It was very sweet. And you're being very, I don't know. You're like very
being
entitled
really Jay about it.
You're very entitled to think that dog gets to stay Jay.
I also think you shouldn't name a pup until you meet them because their personality should influence what you name them.
Yeah, we had a dog name picked out for when we get a dog, and then we met this dog, and we were like, "Oh, it's Myrtle.
It's like Myrtle. It's totally different."
So
yeah, I'm in on that. I was just kidding.
You guys, I'm getting a puppy. I can't believe I'm getting a puppy.
I have so many questions.
It just feels so crazy that I've been talking about it for so long. And now it's like, you got a couple days and then it's here.
Yep.
Are you going to let her, like, how often are you going to take her out?
So every 3 hours to potty train her. Every 2 or 3 hours, we're taking her out. First things first, she needs just one more round of shots. She needs to get. So I have to take her to the vet on hopefully Saturday. and get those because she can't really like walk around outside until you give her shots. And then we're going to potty train her. So it's, you take them outside every 2 or 3 hours and you take them outside for 5 minutes. And if they don't go within 5 minutes, you bring them back inside, you put them in the crate for 15 minutes. And then you take them back out downstairs for 5 more minutes until they learn that outside is where they go.
Yeah.
I'm reading books. I got multiple books. I plowed through one yesterday. I'm reading another one because I know like a lot of the people that I know who have trained dogs like growing up, like have been there when their family had a dog. Like training back then was mostly based on like, no, don't do that. Or like grab the dog's face when they bite you. Or like I've heard of people who are like, when the dog poops in your house, you lock them in a little crate with the poop and make them live with. And I'm like, now training is completely different. Like all the books I've read are like, we used to do this completely wrong. And they would recommend that you not train your puppy until he's 6 months old because otherwise you'd be emotionally damaging your dog. And now they're like, start right away and start with positive reinforcement. Start with rewarding them for doing the right thing and ignoring them when they do the wrong thing. And so I'm like reading all these books so that I can just get all the bad information out of my head and get all this good information in. And then we're going to train this dog.
Yeah, you are.
It's going to be so hard because we're just going to want to snuggle her so much.
I mean, you can do both.
Yeah. But you also got to be stern. Ashley's got a cacophony of sound happening.
I know. I keep trying to mute it, but like, I also want to talk, so it's a little bit weird.
Yeah. What if you close your door?
Yeah, I could do that. Hold on.
You don't
have to close. Do you want me to do that? Hang on. There you go, Ash.
I think she muted her microphone before she walked away from it.
Yeah, who knows?
She's figuring it out. Her bed looks nice.
Yeah. It's going to be so much fun to train a puppy. It's also like such a great different side of your brain than you normally use for work.
Yeah.
And so like that's going to be really cool too because like you're going to have all the work stuff and then like to decompress, you can be like, I'm going to go hang out with this dog and like accomplish. It's sort of like, in a weird way, it's kind of like in a video game when you get like stages of accomplishments.
Yeah.
And like you're like move on and you level up. Like it's going to feel like that because you're going to be like, oh, now it knows to do this. So I'm going to try this next level thing for it to learn. It's going to be really cool. Yeah.
This book I'm reading had this crazy thing it said that makes perfect sense. But to me, I was like, what? Where they're like when a puppy is training and it's like a brand new puppy, she's going to be 9 or 10 weeks old when she gets here. Don't ever just give it a bowl of food for a meal. Give it that food throughout the day to train it. Like you're giving they compared it to like giving a kid a microwaved TV dinner and just like shoving it in front of them and being like, whatever. It's like food is your one resource to reward this puppy. And you don't want your puppy to get fat. So you don't want them to eat a whole meal and then all day be giving them treats. So it's just like treat their kibble as like the treats every time they like are sitting in the crate and being quiet, you give them their kibble. Anytime you want them to get in the crate, you put the kibble, like some kibble in the crate and they go in that. Like it's just like blew my mind of like, oh, that makes perfect sense when you think of it that way. Mm. I love being rewarded with little bits of food. Hi, Austin.
What's up, buddy? Austin?
You fell down? Are you okay?
No.
Yeah. Sorry.
It's okay.
Mommy.
You all right, bud?
Sorry.
It's okay.
Hey, Steve.
He can't
hear Austin.
You. They can't hear you. Can you wave?
Let me see your boo-boo.
She said, let me see
Tell him
boo-boo.
To show me his boo-boo.
Where is it? On your knee?
Let me kiss it. Can I kiss it?
No.
Okay, well, he can't even hear me. It's pretty rude. what were we talking? Oh, Ash, you had questions about puppy.
Yeah, who, when she wakes up really early in the morning,
yeah,
who is going to take her out?
Well, so here's the thing that's crazy. Obviously, we're in a weird time right now. And so it's going to be one of those things that we just adjust and do that. Like, I don't know what's going to happen when we all get out of this weird quarantine world, but it's actually kind of perfect that we're in it right now because like we're both here. One of us will wake up. It'll probably be me because the other one's not so good at waking up. Well, he's actually better than me at like waking up, but he's, I don't know, when we had the puppy for a day and we were trying to like make sure we weren't trying to just be like snuggling her and letting her run around and do stupid stuff because we're like, this might be our dog. I found he kept telling me like, don't let her do that. Don't let her do that. And I was like, yeah, I'm being stern with this dog and you're just snuggling her. So like, you're doing a great job of pointing out when we need to be stern, but I need you to be stern too. So yeah. It's not like just me. And then you're over here being like, tell her no. Oh, it's okay, honey. And then petting her. I was like, you also have to be a dick to the dog. Granted, what I just said was that we're learning that now, like, you don't have to be mean. You just have to be, you know, direct.
Right.
But like, that just gave me it helped me readjust my brain to like, oh, he's not going to be as willing to do
gonna parent the dog. Right.
Yeah. I mean, he's had a dog. I've never had a dog. He's had a dog. So I was hoping that he would run point. last night he goes, you're running point on this. I'm just here to help execute. And I was like, all right, so it's my dog then.
Yeah, well, I think that's an important distinction you guys should make. Like when I got Indy, Steve and I were only dating. And it was like, we lived together, but we lived together with other roommates too. So it wasn't like we just had a place, but it was like, this is my dog. I am paying for this dog. Like, we're going to raise him together. But like, if we break up, the dog's coming with me. Like, it's under my name. I signed everything. I paid for it. And like, and it quickly reached a point where I realized like, oh, they are best friends. If we ever break up, I have to let him take it.
Really?
That's what I fear is going to happen. Yeah. That's why I've been saying to you this whole time, like, this is essentially an engagement because you're both going to love this dog so much.
Yes, podcast. Ashley has been repeatedly at a time in my life where I went from dating a guy that I probably always knew I wanted to date, but we never dated. I started dating him in October, and that was already an adjustment of like, whoa, I'm dating him. And then now here we are in – what is it? April? And we live together. Like, this is what I realized today when I was like, why am I so exhausted? Why do I feel so stressed? It's like, oh, I moved in. My boyfriend moved in with me. We both know it's temporary, but we don't know how temporary. And we don't know when it's going to go back to normal. And once it does, we don't know what that means. Do we go back to not living together and seeing each other once or twice a week? We don't really know what's going on right now. That's a very stressful thing. So on top of that, we got a puppy, which, whatever, it needed a home, and I love her. But on top of that, my best friend is like, let me text him and let him know this is an engagement. And I was like, I don't think we have to use the E word. I don't think it's necessary. I think
guys, Katie refuses to give me his number. She won't give me his phone number.
Because I know that you'll just annoy him about wrestling, which he'll love. But when you don't understand. You guys don't understand. And I wouldn't have if you said this to me before, because I've dated guys who, when they're on their phone, they really don't listen. When he's on his phone, nothing. He hears nothing. And the majority of our relationship is watching garbage movies and making fun of them. So, like, somebody will do something, and you'll make a joke. And I don't know if you know this, but I thrive and live off of laughter. So if he checks his phone when we're watching a movie – if he's checking his phone and I make a joke that I think is so funny and it's just silent, I just get like, oh, I get so sad. And then he's like, no, I heard you. And then because
that's even worse.
You know, everybody has this where like, if they don't hear you because they're not listening, but they hear the words, you have that little pocket of recall in your brain where you can say the words they just said back to them. Have you noticed this? Where if you're like not listening to someone, but you hear them.
Yeah.
And so then you're just like, yeah, no, I heard you. You said that guy had big feet. And it's like, yeah, you just repeated deadpan back to me. The joke that I made that now you're not laughing at and you took all the fun. You know, now I just feel stupid. So anyway, long story short, I cannot give you his number because you'll just text him about wrestling and then it'll add another person to the already long list of people that steal his attention away from me. And then I'm just like, what? Laugh at me. Things are going great.
Oh boy.
Everybody's fine and happy.
Yeah. Is everybody fine and happy?
No. I was going to say, mental health check. How's everybody doing today?
I'm okay.
How's Virginia, Jay? How's that experience been?
Do they have a barber shop there?
No.
Jay doesn't go to a barber shop.
As you can see,
Jay goes to a salon.
So I have nothing.
Salon.
A salon.
Which just means room in French.
It does. This place has really been fantastic. It's like, thank goodness that I'm here because the rest of everything is so difficult. And so like the fact that it's a nice place and I can like have some space and some outside time has been really nice because
that, I miss that like, so much. So yeah, much.
The outside time has really, because the outside time in the city was like so much anxiety that it wasn't worth it. Like if I wanted to go running when I was in Brooklyn still, like so many people just don't care about all of the things that they should be doing. So they're like gallivanting down the street and like you're in the middle of the sidewalk and you're like, pick a side, buddy. Like you shouldn't. And it was just like having to zigzag around them and whatever. It just got so hard. And going to the grocery store was terrifying. And here it's been, it's just bigger. There's just more space. So that's been really nice.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's been really tough.
Ash, how you doing? Yeah.
So-so. Like, I texted with you a couple days ago, Katie, that I had a conversation with my sister, who's an ER doctor, and she was kind of like, hey, you need to be more careful going to the grocery store. Not you, me, but, like, you, everybody. Here are some extra steps you should take, which, you know what? I'm just going to throw them out while we're at it. Like, wear
we're
a
doing
hat.
Them. Just so you know, we're doing them.
Good. Mask and gloves every time you go, and then when you come back, immediately take off your shoes, like have one pair of outside shoes. Immediately take off your shoes and your clothes. Put your clothes in the wash. Get right in the shower. And she's like, by the way, those are for Steve. You're not allowed to leave the house anymore. Like, period. And I was like, oh, I mean, yes, I get it. It makes sense. And I'm doing it. It's just like, even those go outside for like walk to CVS was like a chance to like, have a moment alone, listen to a podcast, do something. And now it's like knowing that's even gone is kind of like meh. And also realized that our lease is almost up and we have to give written notice on what we're planning to do next week. Like we have to give 60 days notice if we're not renewing our rent.
Jesus Christ, that's horrible.
What? And
when we got this deal in this apartment, it was like, in a steal because we like got 2 free months of rent and like a super low rate. And so the rent prices are like jacking up if we renew. So it's just like, oh, we have to figure out our lives. And if we're going to like buy a house and move to the sub, like what?
Is there any way you can ask for an extension on that given the situation?
Yeah. I think what we're going to do is ask for like a 3 month, not necessarily extension, but like a,
just like a grace
3 month
period.
Lease. Yeah.
Yeah.
Without an increase in rent.
Yeah, like can we just be month to month until this is over?
Yeah. Like if the problem is the month to month rent price is like exorbitantly high.
But I mean the month to month, yeah, I just mean
if
like
they don't jack it up, I hope so.
Extend your lease a little. Just extend the lease until this is over, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be cool. Hopefully that works out.
Yeah, that they should absolutely that would be great. Do that. They're like, it's like a company, right? It's not like a dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, they should do that. There should be enough, you know, societal. I feel like, hope, but.
Yeah, I hope so too. I feel like with the companies, they're usually like worse than if it's like a human being.
I know, but
like
you would think in this situation. Yeah, but in this situation, you're seeing a lot of human beings who are like, I need your rent as my income. Like, I'm also in a bad spot. Whereas the company should be able to like socially, the pressure for them to not be dicks because they don't want the bad PR.
Yeah. And I'm hoping that like, if we're not saying,
I mean, you're still paying them. You're not
the exact same. Right. Yeah. Right. That's also,
maybe just in your late night Google, just toss in a search for squatters' rights. We just find out maybe what those are in New Jersey, just to see,
aren't evictions like currently outlawed? Can't you not get evicted? Right
Certain
now?
Cities and states, I think, but not across the nation.
I think it's tough.
I think LA, I know LA did something.
Yeah, LA, you can't for
the.
That's
the shitty thing. This is the little asterisk on living in New Jersey and working in New York. One of the little asterisks is they don't tell you about taxes. Nobody reminds you that you got to pay both taxes and you can get one refunded, but that you like that I didn't know and I was like, shit. The other thing they don't tell you is that like it's with your health insurance when you are in New York a lot, but your health insurance is New Jersey health insurance. A lot of those doctors are quote unquote out of network. And then the other issue is this one, which is like all the New York City stuff that's applying to New York City because of the outbreak in New York City doesn't necessarily, it affects our work, but it doesn't really apply or help us at home. So like if New York City's doing a rent freeze, that does not affect us, even though Hoboken, you could argue I know, but if they were, if anything yeah. happens in New York City in regards to rent, you could argue Hoboken's like a suburb of New York, yeah. but because it's New Jersey, it's completely separate.
Yeah.
So
we'll see.
Fun.
Yeah.
This sounds really fun.
Yeah. It's a good time for everybody, I think. How are you doing, K-Beth?
I'm doing all right. Yeah, I'm doing okay. I keep trying to remember, and I think a lot of people are doing this, like remember how good your situation is as opposed to other people's situations. But it is also like allowing yourself to be like, no, this parts of this suck. Yeah. They don't suck as bad as they suck for somebody else. Obviously, like financially, my boyfriend and I are okay. Like we don't have to work, but like mentally, for him especially, like his job is about like going out and being in crowds and like touring a country that is not allowing people to do that. So he's dealing with the mental like hurdle of what is my job when this is over? Like what is the nature of my industry going Jeez. To change? And I think we're kind of doing the same thing of like, there's no sports right now.
Yeah.
And like, yeah. as there's also no light at the end of the tunnel of when this is going to be over. And so it's like, trying to figure out how long until a company goes, we can't keep this around anymore and just gets rid of it. So it's very stressful and it like puts an added stress on like everything you make better prove your worth when you're like, right. yeah, but I'm already stressed. It's already harder to make it than it was before. And now we have to make it better than it was before. And it's like, if I keep thinking about if I didn't do this for a living, I would look at people who do and be like, I have 8 good ideas. Why don't you just do any of these? But weirdly, yep. it's like trying to clear out all of the noise and be like, be creative is so, I don't know if it's just like a me thing or if other people are experiencing it or like if it's universal, but trying to be creative at a time when your brain goes, this needs to be the best thing you've ever made. That's not a good creative environment. Or like get on a conference call and have a collaborative environment when there's a delay or when somebody has like a person pop in the frame. Like it's very difficult to do what Someone. We do. No, I wasn't even thinking about you. And as I said it, I'm like, don't make her feel yeah. bad about having yes. a child. But it's just like these little things that yeah. wouldn't happen at work. Like Austin, I would love him to come to our meetings, but like he comes to them here and it's like now we're all talking about Austin and we lose it. It's just yeah. a very weird, hard thing to do that's the hardest thing about it is how easy it sounds. Like I don't have yeah. to, and then you think about the people who have to go to work that are mm-hmm. like, shut up guys. I have to go to work. I'm risking my life every day. And then you think about the fact that your boyfriend is a hypochondriac and that factors into things and a little bit of talking off the ledges all the time. And like, there's just a lot going on and it's yeah. a lot to juggle. And like I said, I'm now like live with my boyfriend, which is a step we were not going to take anytime soon and we're handling it very well, but it's just this, our lives have all changed in a way that we don't understand. And at this point, my main source of anxiety, I shouldn't even share it because it might be a thing nobody else has thought of yet. And I don't want to give people more stuff to freak out about. I just don't want us to end this quarantine with a situation in which the people in charge tell us time to go back, but we don't feel safe going back.
Yeah, totally.
And then it becomes a decision. Do you go to work and risk it? The same decision that like essential workers are making right now. Do you make a call for yourself and decide you're not going to do it and potentially lose your job? Or do you go back because everybody's going back and then we see this thing spike back up again and we have a second wave and it's worse. Yeah. Like it's a lot of like a trust thing. You have to trust the people who are in charge and it's a very scary, I just don't know. All of that's freaking me out.
Yeah. There's a so. I woke up at 3:30 this morning and was just like thinking, like I had this nightmare of like Austin coming into the room like with a mask on and was just like if, because I read this thread about this woman describing her symptoms and her husband's, and like a lot of what I've heard is the fatigue is so bad that you can't get out of bed for like more than 5 minutes, even in like mild cases. I'm like, who would take, and my head started spiraling, like who would take care of my kid? Where would he go? Because you can't give a child that has been like around exposed right. to people with COVID, like to someone else. And it just was like, oh my, I don't know, but you don't want to get that far ahead, but you're like, there's, if you let, I think the thing I'm trying to say is like, if you let yourself start to actually think about stuff, you can go down so many different roads that are like, stop. It's like, so bad.
Let's get it. So bad. This is a fun exercise I've started trying to do. I know people do on a daily basis in regular times, not just end times like these. But like, what are some things we're grateful for? Like, I am grateful for, it is not easy for me to fall asleep. I've always had a hard time falling asleep. Once I'm asleep, though, for the night, I pretty much sleep through it. And I know a lot of people are waking up every night at the same time, or they're waking up in the middle of the night and having panic attacks. Like, I'm having that before I fall asleep, but I'm grateful that once I'm asleep, I stay sleeping. That's one thing I'm grateful for.
Yeah.
I'm grateful that Austin has started to learn the words to "I'll Make a Man Out of You." And we'll just kind of sing it on his own, but that he's also changes the words a bunch. So instead of like, "Let's get down to business to defeat the Huns," we'll be like, "Let's get down to potty to defeat the poops." Like, there's lots of iterations.
What a remix.
Like, "Let's get down to the ocean to defeat the sharks." A lot of them don't make sense.
No, that one I love though.
But they're really highly entertaining.
I gotta say, I'm really grateful for Tuesdays. Like, the fact that we get to get together and do this podcast and like see each other on Zoom and like spend a couple of hours and work.
Oh, don't do that.
And like, it's like the closest to what it used to be like when we were in the world and at work and having fun, and we get to have fun and, you know,
I've never put less thought into how good the pod is for the people listening to it, because at this point I'm like, we need this. We're going to talk, and if you don't want to listen, that's okay, but I need a chat. I need a chat with somebody who's listening, whose job it is to listen right now, not to look at their phone. I'm grateful for I know I told you guys I never gave you an update. My friend Hannah was pregnant with a complicated pregnancy, and she was in the hospital. And while she was there, like, she was there when it started, and then she got front lines view of all of the evolution of this thing taking over New York City. They got to a point where she had her baby. I think I said that. Her name's Carmella. Mm-hmm. She's adorable.
She's so
and
cute.
But then they made my friend Hannah, they made her leave the hospital because they needed her bed for COVID patients. And so she was recovering from surgery, from like a traumatic pregnancy. And she was home and having to travel to – well, when she was still there, they turned the NICU, the natal intensive care unit, into – or neonatal, whatever, into a COVID ward. And they moved the NICU to like a completely different wing of the hospital. So when she was still there, like right after the pregnancy, her husband wasn't allowed to come visit, and she would have to get a nurse who was very busy to take her to the NICU so that she could feed and bond with her child. And then she would have to go back to the room. Then they eventually kicked her out, and she was having to go back twice a day to try it in these really weird windows to like nurse her baby and then go back home. Meanwhile, her like scars are still like, she's still healing.
It takes 8 weeks to heal from a C-section.
There was like times where she called me and she was like, "No, I don't want to do it anymore. I don't want any more hard things. I literally physically cannot do another hard thing." So the thing I'm grateful for, Carmella is home. Their family is reunited. Everybody is together. Things are obviously still difficult and challenging, and there's more challenges on the horizon, but I'm very grateful. Every time I think about the hospital staff, I just get really choked up. I'm like, this is an impossibility for them. Impossibility. They're having to be like, "Hey, I know you had a baby, lady," but the news isn't talking about ladies having babies every day. They're talking about this other thing, and we are the epicenter of it, and we have to fix it. So like, they can't have sympathy. Which is like what nurses are so good. I don't know. The whole thing just bums me out. But I'm very grateful that the staff took great care of her, that she's home, she's healthy, she's a healthy baby.
A very cute baby.
That's great.
Oh, my God. I'm going to call her Carmelita, and I don't care what she says. She's so cute. Her big brother, who just turned 2, like the day she got the baby home, was her son's birthday. And then, you know, Ashley, the mom guilt of like, this kid deserves a birthday. And I'm like, just pretend, just celebrate it like a week later. He won't know. But she, he calls her Karma. He's like, Karma. And
it's that's so cute.
It's so, and she'll send me little videos. And I'm like, oh God, there's still happiness in the world.
That's so cute.
I'm also grateful for Oreos.
Ooh. Mm.
Pretty grateful for Oreos. I'm grateful that food delivery is still happening, where I am, at least, because I don't have to cook. And I can
Oh, you're not cooking at all? I was actually wondering how that went.
So the problem is every time I cook, I just make my comfort food, my go-to everything's okay comfort food. So it's just macaroni with butter and cheese. Mm-hmm. And if we don't lose our jobs for other reasons, I was going to say, if we don't lose our jobs for other reasons, I might lose my job from how much I'm eating just straight carbs and butter.
They can't legally fire you for getting fat.
Oh, they'll find a different reason. But we will all know deep down it's because the men who run a network are no longer interested in looking at my face.
I made 4 dozen cookies this weekend.
That sounds great.
Oh, I have break and bake. I should make some of those.
So I made them from, oh, hold on, Jay. I'm sorry. I need to talk about this a little bit.
Sorry, please stop.
I'm still going.
tell me about the cookies.
There were just, you know, those cookies that are called like everything but the kitchen sink. And it's just like,
you just dump it in.
And like, it called for oatmeal and I didn't, or like oats, and I didn't have any oats. So I was like ripping open Austin's packets of like instant oatmeal and like taking out the little like dinosaur eggs and like putting that in. I had like one stick of margarine, one stick of butter. I had M&Ms from like 3 different seasons that I just had like laying around
the house. This is exactly what the cookie is made for. It's like, take everything you got.
You guys, they turned out so good.
I
was like, I can't even remember what's in here, honestly. They're so delicious.
That's perfect. That
I was literally picking M&Ms out of like trail mix. Like, it was such a mess.
That's amazing.
They're great. It's really fun. Okay, though. Jay, sorry. You can go ahead.
Oh, I was going to just say, like, getting to cook has actually been like a great way to take my mind off of things because it's such a manual situation versus like everything else that I do is in my head all the time, especially with like bad anxiety. So then it's like, If there's a recipe to follow, it's just like so much comfort that I can just be
like,
step two is done. Yeah, exactly. And so that's been really nice, and getting to be with a couple of friends and like having people to cook for, so you can like make something that's for more than one person is also like, oh, I'm going to try this weird thing I see in this cookbook and it turns out pretty good. And you're like, this is great. And that's been really nice.
Yeah. That's like making to-do lists yesterday of like, this note card. You guys know I always just write on note cards. Like, this note card is like training hints. This note card is like things we have to get at the store. And just being able to make these lists and be like, I'm doing something is getting done. Yeah. Progress is being made on this thing. I'm very grateful for that. I've also been cleaning, which, you know, I don't want to do, but now I have to do because I don't want poop on my clothes.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Did I tell you on the podcast the story of Myrtle's poop?
No,
I don't think I did.
No.
She's a puppy. We had her for 2 days, but separate, like 2 Saturdays, and we got her for like a window of time. And so Kelly has a backyard, but I do not. And so the dogs, when they're there, she can let them out or whatever. But when Myrtle was coming here, she would give us little pee pads, and the pee pads are scented in a way that a dog is supposed to want to go to it to pee. And she was really good about it. The first day, she peed and pooped on the pee pad. She was great. The second day we had her, the second Saturday, this past Saturday, she was a puppy in the purest sense of the word. She was biting. She was like restless. She pooped. Okay. She farted. She is a tiny, tiny dog. She farted. And, my boyfriend farts a lot, but weirdly unscented. They're like comically loud. Smell like nothing. It's the perfect situation.
That's how you know.
Way more information.
That's how you know you can stay together.
I know.
That's how you know you can stay together.
The perfect, because they're hilarious and don't bother me. I was sitting on the couch and I just went, oh my God. It was this like over, it was like an indie fart, Ashley.
I'm familiar with puppy farts.
It was a fart that had years on it. It was wise beyond its years. And I was like, that is awful. So then, She pees on the pee pad. Amazing. We're grabbing a treat to give to her and she starts to poop and she poops on the pee pad and we're like, amazing. So we go to give her a treat. He's going to get her the treat and I'm just being like, good job, Myrtle. Good job, Myrtle. And she looks at me next to the pee pad, crouches down and starts to poop again. And I'm like, no, bad job, Myrtle. Bad job, Myrtle. Then the smell hits as my boyfriend's coming over to give her the treat. We both at the same time went, like, are gagging. He's like, okay, here's the treat. Hands me the treat, which at this point, now that I've read the books, I know it's too late to give the dog a treat because now you're rewarding them for pooping not on the pee pad. But I didn't know that then. So he's like, you take the treat. I'll clean up the poop. And I had already started with a paper towel trying to wipe up the poop. And he tries to grab the paper towel, his hands covered in dog poop. And he's like, he's like, we're both like gagging, like we're about to start puking. And he's like, it's on my thumb. And I was like, ah. And like Myrtle's just looking at us like, what are we doing, guy? We were freaking. It was the smelliest.
Welcome to the first day of the rest of your life, Katie Nolan.
It was. But then you look at her little face and she's so cute and you're like, how did that come out of you?
Yeah.
That was a monstrous dump you just took. Not on the carpet, so shout out Myrtle, but.
Wait till she has diarrhea inside.
Ooh, all right, boy. Well.
Ooh, yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
So that's hard to clean
not going to happen. It's not going to happen because we're going to train her well. My main concern right now is that we're five floors up and all the books I'm reading are written as if I have a backyard where they're like, if she starts to pee, interrupt her peeing, pick her up and run her outside. And I'm like, run her outside. Yeah. She's going to be peeing all the way down the stairs.
What yeah. Did he, well, if you pick her up, sometimes they'll stop, but sometimes they won't.
Sometimes
they won't. That's that's a fun game.
One of the best things we did was get like wind chime essentially for the door out to our backyard. Smart. So that like Indy would go over to it and hit it with his paw and it would make a noise. So even if we didn't see him by the door, we could like hear it and then like take him outside. So he's like, hey, I want to go out. Hey, I want to go out. It's like ringing a bell for us. And so if you're in your bedroom, like
it is until the dog learns that. That they just can use out. That to go outside and then they are
he
just like want to go
that,
outside all the
which
time.
Which was actually pretty great.
When I had a dog, she was like, we tried the chime thing and it was just like, she would just, once she learned that, she was like, privilege. Oh, I'm just going to hit that chime and then I can go outside. And then I'd be like, okay, we're outside. And the dog would be like, cool.
Let's
not
going
to do anything.
Yeah. Oh man.
It's going to be fun.
It's going to be fun.
She'll get used to the elevator and like know that like you have to wait till you get outside the doors.
Yep.
It's just going to take a little
eventually.
Bit of time.
Speaking of poop and updates, how's Austin doing?
I can't believe that we made that bet when we did. I don't think he's had a poop in the potty since that bet was over. Not a single one. Like,
here's the thing. He knows the value of a good over-under, and he was playing to win.
It's unbelievable.
I'm going to just say, look, I'm not saying, I've heard people say, feels rigged to me.
I'm not saying like, it. Honestly,
who said that? What
people
are saying?
I don't know.
People
said it. Don't worry about it, Jay.
Really?
People are saying it.
Are you on the subreddit again? I heard you were off that.
Maybe we should.
I don't check it. I missed that.
Wait, what are you guys talking about?
The subreddit.
I said, is she on the Reddit again?
Oh, shoot. I haven't checked in a while. The other day, this was a really fun one. So he has like a little potty that's like on the floor. That you can like dump out into the actual potty.
Gross. I don't need that.
He was like potty time and he like runs to the bathroom. Usually that means he's already pooped and he just like starts to sit, but it was like kind of a messy one. So he can like pull down his pants and pull down his pull-ups. He had already done that and he like goes to sit in his potty and misses. So he plops on the floor, his butt
with
a poopy legs. Covered. It's all over the floor. It's now in his hands. He stands up, try to like get back on the potty. It's just, it looks like a murder scene.
I'm so There's sorry poop. I'm laughing.
A murder scene if blood was poop.
Yes.
Because exactly. What kind of murder scene is covered in poop?
My sanity.
What a weird murder.
My sanity was murdered. And the whole time I'm like, it's okay, but stop moving. Stop moving. Stop. Don't put your hand there. Don't put the hand there.
Oh my
and
God.
He likes to bend forward to like see if it's working and his face is like right by his like crackle diaper, like lean backwards. It was
my goodness.
It was
what also we learned is it's a very good way to realize how much stuff you're touching that you don't notice you're touching when you have poop on your hands.
Oh my God.
Yep.
That's when you're like, God. Oh, all those times I thought I was doing a good job and didn't need to wash my hands. Now that I've got poop on my hands, I'm touching a lot of stuff.
I felt like I smelled like poop for hours afterwards.
Oh my God. We had to take the trash out immediately. I was like, this whole house smells like poop. It's, we lit three candles.
It was so contaminated. Oh my God.
Oh, so much poop.
It was so much poop. Gosh, I'm just going to be able to talk to you about poop all the time. I'm so excited about it.
Me too. Oh,
you're
going
to be able to like commiserate.
I sure can't wait.
Oh man.
That's so funny.
It just exhausted me. You know, there is some sports stuff that's happening.
I feel like maybe we do an ad read. Feels about like that time. Shoot.
Yeah, I probably should have done that way long ago, huh? That's the end of the regular host chat. Before we get into our host chat, this week's podcast is brought to you by Ritual. So, Ashley, what do you, how do you want me to do it?
I was thinking, since a lot of us are spending significant time trying to FaceTime our parents, you could tell us about Ritual as if you were a parent trying to figure out FaceTime.
Okay, so before we do this, quick backstory. I FaceTimed with my parents and my brother and his fiance, wife. The other night. And so it was all of us on one FaceTime. And my parents could not figure out how to get the kids. It was just, I'm like, how are you this stereotypically, like, useless with technology? But then they discovered that you could put a little emoji on FaceTime and it will stick. So, like, if you move. So my dad, like, put a guitar on himself. And was like trying to play it. It was but it was terrible. But they were laughing so hard that it was actually just nice. That I was like, oh my God, they're really enjoying this simple, simple technology.
Aww.
But so that's my source material for Ritual, which by the way, I've been taking.
How's it going?
I take a vitamin now.
So. Wow.
Tell us about it. Tell us about it in the ad read.
That's what I was planning to do.
Great.
Great.
Hey, Kate. How you doing? Can you hear us? We all want to do the right thing to keep our bodies healthy in the long run. Can you see Mom? Is she in the frame? Do I need to let me move this? Let me just, what if I rotate it this way? No, you're yelling. No, don't do that. Okay. Even if trying really hard to eat kale salads and drink green smoothies, we're still most likely not getting all the essential nutrients that we need on a daily basis. Katie, you're not saying anything. Did you hear what I said about the nutrients? Okay. No, you didn't say anything. No, sorry, you go. Okay. Enter Ritual, the obsessively researched vitamin for women. You're a woman. How's that going? Ritual's essentials have the nutrients most of us don't get enough of from food. Honey, you're sitting too, I don't think you have to sit that close to me. Well, Katie said that if we flip the camera this way, that it should be fine. I think they can see us both. We can't see either of you. Okay, well, what if I move it? What are you seeing? You're seeing it too. It's right there on your screen. That's the thing about FaceTime. It's like you can see what we see. I don't know. I don't think that's true. Ritual's essentials have the nutrients most of us don't get enough from food, all in their clean, absorbable forms. No shady additives or ingredients that can do more harm to your body than good. Two easy-to-take capsules provide 9 nutrients that you need to support a strong foundation for your health. Are you going to the doctor, Kate? No, Mom, I can't go to the doctor. I'm not supposed to go to the doctor. Yeah, well, you should use telehealth. Yeah, Mom, that's what I'll do. I'll use telehealth. That's the thing that you can clearly see how easy that is. Well, all I'm saying, Ritual Essential for Women is the multivitamin reimagined. From D3 to omega-3, Ritual's Essential for Women helps fill gaps in a women's diet. The no-nausea capsule design is gentle on an empty stomach, and there's a mint tab in every bottle to keep things fresh so you don't get that fishy aftertaste common with most omega-3s. Hi, Katie Nolan here, checking in to let you know that's true. They're very minty.
Ooh.
It's like very, very minty, which is very nice. And they're, you know, you don't burp up fish, I guess, which is, I guess, the thing that is happening to people. I know.
Have you ever taken, like, a fish oil without it? It's disgusting.
No. I can't imagine why anybody would do that.
Well, because fish oil, omega-3s are really good for you. Yeah.
Yeah, just make before it taste better.
Well, that's what Ritual did.
Good I'm job, saying, Ritual. It's like, why is Ritual the first person to do that? Ritual is traceable and transparent. Do you see this guitar? Do you see the guitar that I have? Isn't that funny? Look at me. I'm in a band for obsessive label readers. All of Ritual's vegan-friendly, sugar-free, non-GMO, gluten-free, and allergen-free ingredients and their sources are out there for the whole world to see. It's a clear little pill. I'd get it, but it's in another room. It's too difficult. Ritual's delivered. They deliver it to you, which, guess what? Pretty helpful right now, wouldn't you say? A subscription's easy to start, and it's easy to snooze. It's only $1 a day to have the essential nutrients your body needs delivered every month. You hear that? $1 a day. I've stopped doing the bit. I'm just going to get through the ad read. It's a very long read. BetterHelp doesn't happen overnight. Right now, Ritual is offering our listeners 10% off your first 3 months. That's 10% off your first 3 months, which will we be out of here by then? Who's to say? Fill in the gaps in your diet, which are certainly growing much larger in this weird situation where I realized the other day I haven't had a vegetable in 2 weeks. Not on purpose, just by accident. So fill in the gaps in your diet with Essential for Women, a small step that helps support a healthy foundation for your body. Visit ritual.com/Nolan to start your ritual today. 10% off during your first 3 months at ritual.com/Nolan. All right, Dad, hit end call, and it'll just hit the button at the bottom.
Oh, boy.
My brother left that call because he had to go do something. Julie had to, like, practice something for work the next day. He's like, all right, I'm going to hop off, but you guys stay on. And I shot him a look that was like, why'd you do that?
Yeah.
Why don't you just end the call for all? He's like, you stay, you stay. I'm like, no, I also have to go. I have to do literally nothing. But WrestleMania was on. I felt bad because, you know, my boyfriend wanted to watch WrestleMania.
Did you watch all of Mania? I missed parts of it.
Yeah, we watched all of it, but like FaceTimed with my parents for a good chunk of it. And ooh, I turned to him at one point. I'm like, do you want us to stop? Do you want me to go in the other room? And he's like, no, this is great. And I'm like, oh, that's a good boyfriend answer.
That is.
That's
good for him.
Boyfriend answer. So can you tell me what the hell happened at WrestleMania?
No, is the short answer.
Gosh, trying to describe it?
I can't understand. Like, every article I've read about WrestleMania is like, then this guy did a thing. I'm like, who won? They're like, well, can't tell you that information, but this guy was there too. I'm like, cool. What happened?
So it was two nights. Okay. Pre-recorded about a week ago. Most of it was made to feel live to tape.
Yeah.
So most of it looked like a ring, like looked like regular wrestling. There was no audience, which was weird in and of itself.
Yep.
Because you're not supposed to be able to hear everything they say to each other during a match, and you could hear it perfectly.
Yeah.
You could hear just how repetitive what they say to each other is. You could hear just how, like, it's a weird comparison to make, but if you've ever, like, not really a talker during sex and you try to start and you're like, words aren't coming to me properly. It's one of those things where you just felt like they're trying to fill it with words and you're like, you could just not say anything. That was already really weird. And I don't know, Ashley, you're the bigger wrestling fan. I'm new here. That part, I was like, stop talking.
Well, it was a whole element that I wasn't used to. I think your comparison was spot on. But like, normally you'll catch a little bit of like, yeah, I told you this. You're like, you can't come at me. But like, you catch it just a little bit. You can see their mouths moving.
It's like a little treat.
Yeah. Cause if it was real, and they were like fighting, you would be like talking smack to people while you were like fighting them. But like, this was like, oh, this is, I'm not used to exactly like you said, I'm not smack, used to all this.
Smack talk is not supposed to be a conversation. Nobody should ever have sustain an entire conversation during a fight. It should just be like little things and then the fight happens. But it would have been weirdly quiet.
Yeah, it was already weirdly quiet. I think the like some people who were good at it, like Seth Rollins, like I thought made it more interesting. Like Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens are both like good on the mic. So that match was like entertaining hearing them talk to each other. But other times you're just like, oh, cool. No, thank you. Yeah. Hard pass.
It was weird.
Stop it.
It was weird. It's also weird because, and again, you know, I'm new here, but the thing that's interesting to me about pro wrestling is like, it's all engineered with the audience in mind.
Yeah.
Like, I would say more than any other sport, the audience actually matters because like, when you hear them go crazy for somebody, or if somebody makes a heel turn within a match, or like somebody goes from being the good guy to the bad guy, like you hear it in the crowd.
Yeah.
Like they go from cheering for this guy to then like booing him, and it changes the dynamic, and it gives more context to the story. Without the audience, you're just like, so now what's happening? And like having an encyclopedic pro wrestling person with me for it helped. But also then he would pause it and tell me the backstory of like every match that's ever happened. And it was like, you don't have to do
I don't all need this. All that. Yeah.
Just give me just give me the cliff notes for
you.
But like it was no audience for wrestling. It's just like, it's almost impossible to do it. AEW, I watched one AEW thing when this all first started, and I liked the way they did it, but it was different. They like had to, they clearly put thought into it. Whereas I think WWE felt like, yeah, there just won't be any fans. Except for these two matches that were pre-taped, but pre-taped in a way that didn't try to hide that they were pre-taped. They were cinematic masterpieces, would we say? So it's two nights. I already say WrestleMania was two nights this year. And
yeah. Wait, hold on. What was that?
What?
Jay, did you hear her voice get really like deep? Like it looked, sounded like somebody turned a knob and you were all of a sudden you were talking like this and then it came back to normal. Really? You didn't hear that?
I think that might have just.
It's weird because I was just talking like really high-pitched.
People who are recording our Zoom chat.
That was so, it sounded
really
like, it sounded like someone was like, it's slowing you down and then you came back up. Nobody else? Okay. Maybe it's my headphones. It was really weird.
I was like waiting for the lights to turn off and like Undertaker to show up and this to all be over for us.
He's like, don't talk smack about WrestleMania.
So it was too, tell me if it happens again.
I will. Just look at my face. It was weird.
So it was two nights, and on the first night, the pre-recorded cinematic production
thing
was a Boneyard match, between, what's his face and what's his face?
AJ Styles.
And AJ Styles. The internet loved it, I will say.
Yeah.
Can I?
I hated it.
Go ahead, Jay. Can I say something embarrassing?
You watched it. Please,
so I saw all these tweets. No, I didn't watch it. I saw all these tweets about the Boneyard, and the first one that I saw was like, what happens in the Boneyard stays in the Boneyard or something.
Terrible tweet.
And my immediate thought was like, oh, there must be some new like sexy dating app called Boneyard.
Oh my God.
I mean,
I thought you were going to say that you thought about the news story I saw yesterday where they were like, we're going to start burying people in Central Park or something. Like, I thought
that's a contingency plan.
I was like, I saw Boneyard. I was like, oh, that must be like some new sexy version of Tinder.
And so what you're saying is you tried to get on Boneyard.
I looked in the app store, but I couldn't find it anywhere.
I was like, where is Boneyard? I tried all
the tweets. Then I read two more tweets about it. I was like, oh, I get it now.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, I still don't get it. Here's the thing. I still don't get it. It was so, it was like an action movie fight sequence.
For a whole movie.
In all the bad ways.
Was there music?
Several different cuts.
They scored it and it made it so much worse. And I will say my boyfriend also didn't like it. So like I was worried because I'm like, I hated that. And then I looked at the internet and they loved it. And he was like, no, I also hated it. So I was like, okay, at least that's fair. Very annoying of AJ Styles, who's got this long, fluffy hair. He always does this like flip. He like hair flips. Mm-hmm. And it just felt extra rude given everybody's current situation in which we all need a goddamn haircut. for him to just be out.
I don't know.
Like,
I can't speak to that, but I hear what you're saying.
Sure. Just grab a pair of scissors and go at it.
Nope.
And so AJ Styles died is how that ended.
He died?
Yeah. It ended with the murder. He buried him alive. In a grave.
His hand was still sticking out.
Is that a thing that happens in wrestling? Like people die?
No.
Well, I mean, it's not confirmed. He's probably going to live.
They both did kind of have cliffhanger endings.
Yeah.
Like, is AJ Styles dead is a question that I have. Is John Cena retired is the second question that I have.
John Cena could also be dead. He was like choked to death by a sock puppet. So
let's get there. So the second night, the cinematic masterpiece was a Firefly Funhouse. Between Bray Wyatt,
aka the Fiend,
aka the Fiend, and John Cena. Now, Ashley, correct me if I'm wrong, but what I've absorbed from my encyclopedia, was that Bray Wyatt was somebody who like should have gone over a long time ago, and they kind of just kept fumbling with his character. Mm-hmm. Like he had this character that would like come out with a lantern, and it was like this really cool thing, and people loved that character, but it never. Like panned out for him, then he never popped. And so then like he now is this Fiend character, but like I guess at one point there was a John Cena Bray Wyatt match.
Yep.
And Cena was supposed to, everybody wanted it to end with, because John Cena everybody loved, everybody hated, but like kids liked, but nobody ever really liked John Cena as like the guy. So they wanted John Cena to basically put Bray Wyatt over by letting, you know, Bray should have won the match back then, but he didn't. And so this time, all these years later, Bray Wyatt starts by being like, you're going to face your toughest opponent, which is yourself. And then they go through all these like iterations of John Cena's personality and all the like evolution of his character. Like when he was like the rap guy and then they, so painful. and like ruthless aggression or whatever, like all these John Cena things, but he wasn't really fighting Bray Wyatt. There was no actual like wrestling really.
No.
Then they did this, then they did an NWO thing and they did the Too Sweet. I had to hear the history of the Too Sweet.
Too Sweet.
I'm familiar with.
I remember that.
Oh man.
And I know all about X-Pac. It at this point. But so then at the end, and Ashley and I were texting during it, and I said, this feels like, to me, this is going to end with him retiring. Because if you fight yourself, and then you end up being like, oh, all of this was stupid, I should just walk away from wrestling. My boyfriend pointed out that it would be tough to, you wouldn't want to retire without an audience. Like, you'd want the, like,
who pointed
people
that out?
Being like, oh my God. Oh, was it you?
It was. It's fine.
I think I'm essentially independently.
I'm your work boyfriend, so.
I think independently at the same time. Mm-hmm. It was suggested to That's me, right. Which then made me feel like I'm a dummy
no.
because both of my people were mentioning it. But that match, I was like, what is happening?
Yeah.
It ended with him getting
a sock puppet shoved down his throat. Yeah.
But no, but didn't the Fiend like choke him out from behind?
No, when you say sock puppet.
I'll find a screen grab for you, Jay.
This is the like the extent of my wrestling information ended at Too Sweet. So when I hear sock puppet, I think of, didn't Mankind have a sock puppet on his hand that he would like carry around?
Are you thinking of, I don't know about Mankind. That was before I watched, but there was, gosh, what's his name? The Great San, God, it's going to kill me. Santino. He had a sock puppet. Santino had a sock puppet.
Wow.
Thank you, Katie. That's incredible.
Katie Osmosis.
How did, Osmosis. But he hasn't wrestled in a long time. He like came out for like Rumble
so
or something.
Where did this sock puppet come from?
Well, so the Funhouse is kind of like a Pee Wee's Playhouse type of a
deal. Got it.
Like a dark kind of creepy and ominous, Mr. Rogers play, Mr. Rogers.
So kind of like that Shaq thing that we went to.
Yeah.
Except for no puppies.
Kind
of. Okay.
So
they're this, there.
So that happened and John Cena finished. So now that ended and I was like, I don't understand. Looked to my boyfriend to be like, what, did we like that one? And he said no. And then what's going on? What's wrong?
Turning the fridge off.
Oh.
Sitting next to
a fridge in your room?
No, this isn't my room. This is a basement.
Oh. All right. But so he was like, I didn't like it. Then last night he fired it up again.
Oh no.
And I was like, what are we doing? And he was like, well, I read a bunch of stuff online and I actually think I was wrong about this one. And so we watched it again. And then this time he was like, this fucking rules.
Yeah, I would have guessed that was his reaction.
So I thought so too, because there was a lot of like nostalgia in it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, you probably understand what all this means. And I don't, which was a mistake that I made, because then last night we watched the whole thing again.
Oh, boy.
And I got, it took us 2 hours to watch because he kept stopping and telling me about the history of wrestling.
Wow.
So he liked it. People liked it.
Yes, Steve loved it.
I told him, I was like, look, I'm like, if we're going to keep doing this, we got to just make it into a podcast. At least make it into content. Because right now I'm learning all this stuff from you that's like, what good is this for me? I don't need this.
Mm.
Yeah.
But he's got a WWE Network subscription. So I'm like, why don't we just go through and watch all the old matches that exist in wrestling? And you be like, okay, here was the lead into this one. And then we basically just do the SummerSlap podcast, but with me just him telling his very long stories and me being like, I don't get it.
I'd listen.
So look for that.
I'd listen.
Look for that.
I'd listen to that. Okay.
We're getting close.
It was, cool. I've been trying to think of, you know, when you watch a movie and you're like, I like these aspects of it and not so much these aspects of it. I think
sure.
The, both of these pre-taped matches kind of took the like really campy over the top aspects of wrestling and put them 100% in the spotlight. Those are the aspects of it that I don't love. Like I tend to lean towards like the acrobatics and like the promos and like the interesting storylines, but like people love that stuff, obviously. And so they just like went balls to the wall embracing it. And so the people who are into that were like, this is awesome. And it's like, okay, I think part of me wants to like, I know it's not real, but I don't need the like super fake. And other people are just like, give me all of it. Like give me Undertaker. Like there's like magic. It just the whole,
all the like people in cloaks and the like, it's just was so, it was a lot. And if you're just watching it and you have no idea what's going on, you're like, what is going on?
But, and like, that's kind of the interesting thing, right? Because no sports are happening right now. Mm-hmm. So like, very rarely, I mean, when WrestleMania is on, it trends. People talk about it. Yeah. People on the internet talk about wrestling. But like, there were people.
Jay, your typing is so loud.
Jay, what are you doing? Very loud.
You gave me a hard time about the mute button. You could easily.
Really loud.
I was trying to just make notes about maybe a video for the internet. Keep going.
What if you wrote it down with a pen?
Yeah, grab a cup.
Everybody,
man. God.
Everybody, sorry. Everybody was watching it. Even the people who, like, sports people were like, let's, this counts.
Yep.
This counts.
Yep.
And so, like, those people who don't have all of the backstory didn't get it or appreciate it. And I'm one of them, and I acknowledge that. I'm here saying it wasn't it for me, but it wasn't for me.
Right.
And, like, there is something to the fact that, like, all these eyeballs were on it, and they didn't pander. They like went full WWE so that their viewers that are loyal, that need this and were looking forward to WrestleMania were like, yeah, this is what I wanted. And the people that don't belong here who are just like, can I come to your party? Because all the other parties were canceled. Those people felt confused and uncomfortable, but they should have, you know, like it was purely WWE. And I think that makes perfect sense. And I kind of don't, I'm not mad at it.
I think it was really smart. Particularly for the Undertaker match, because he is old and can't move.
So
can't
old.
Move as well.
Just
and he knows that. Like, he knows that he can't move like he does, but he is a staple of WrestleMania. And like, watching his recent matches were, it was very difficult to watch because it like makes you sad that he can't perform in the way that he used to and that he obviously wants to. And so this, like, very edited piece was a way to still make, like, give him a WrestleMania, like, headline in a way that wasn't as taxing on him physically and was still cool for other people. Like, he still got to ride it on a motorcycle and there was fire and there was a grave and, like, he didn't have to do that much physically. You know what I mean? Mm. So I think it was a really smart way to incorporate him without putting his body through the ringer.
The one
does he
thing,
still do the tombstone pile driver? I remember that was his move when I was
there was a tombstone.
12.
It might have been a pile driver. I don't know. Maybe. So. The one thing that was cool. The one thing that was a real miss on all sides was Rob Gronkowski.
Ooh.
Robert. So they announced that he obviously signed a deal with WWE, which we all saw in the news because there's no other news. and he was the host. Quote unquote host of WrestleMania. So first night he comes out and does his little, wears his sunglasses, yada, yada. Talks about his friend who's a wrestler.
His name I'm totally blanking.
Mojo.
Yeah.
Mojo Rawlins. Well,
yes.
No, Mojo.
Raleigh.
Raleigh. And he comes out and they talk or whatever. They introduce this idea that for those who don't know, there's a belt called the 24/7 belt. And if you have it, you have to defend it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Anybody can take it from you whenever they want to. So the guy who currently held it,
I think it was R-Truth,
came out and was talking about that. And then I think like Gronk looked like he was going to try to pin him. And then Mojo like pushed Gronk out of the way, pinned him and got the belt. And so it was like this thing between the two of them where like they were friends and now they're like, whoa, dude, you took the belt. Cool. So then the second night, Gronk wrestled. He like jumped on a big group of people, pinned somebody, and Gronk now has a belt, is what I'm saying. And as I tweeted, 24/7. Yes, as I tweeted, which I'm very sorry for doing, he could have used that belt moments earlier because we saw Gronk's butt crack. Gronk was like out there wrestling and his pants needed to be pulled up, and it's just a shame that he didn't have the belt 24 hours or 7 days earlier because I didn't need that. I didn't need it.
I think that's kind of how I feel about Gronk at WrestleMania in general. I didn't need it.
I didn't like it.
I didn't need it at all.
The only thing that would have redeemed it for me is if he was still playing football and the next person who tackled him in a game, like, got the 24/7.
Oh, that would be such a good crossover.
Like,
that would be such a good crossover.
He stands up and celebrates because he has a belt now. Yeah. Because
Calais Campbell's like, I have this belt now.
That's so funny.
That I would have been fine with, but that's not going to happen because he's gone. So just in general, Gronk is, And I love the guy. He's also a super nice guy. Shout out Gronk. But I just think that when you're a football player that has a shtick, you're a football player first and your shtick is secondary and it's cute and it's funny. If you lean in full shtick, it's going to get old really fast.
Yeah.
And so, like, I hope that whoever's, like, writing for Gronk, first of all, I hope they've got great health insurance just because I can, you know, hope they've got a therapist. But, mm-hmm. like, I hope that they are smart about what they try to do with him. And I hope, like, I mean, we might find out what he's capable of doing. I don't know. I know there was that story when he was in a movie where an actress was, like, didn't hold back. I don't remember who it was. She was basically like, every take he did was one line, and it took us the entire day to get him to do the line properly.
Ooh.
Like, she was very open about how bad of an actor he was, which maybe it was a bad day. I don't know. I'm not judging. I'm kind of judging, but I'm just saying, like, if you're going to be a if you want to be a superstar, because I learned yesterday you're not supposed to call them wrestlers, which is why it was crazy when CM Punk left and did that promo on Mike sitting down cross-legged.
Yeah.
And he said he called himself a wrestler. We've gone down a wormhole. But like, if you want to be a superstar, you're going to have to be able to act.
Yeah. Do you think that's what he wants?
Unless, I don't know. Why else would he sign a deal with
them? Just income?
And have a belt.
Why would they give him a title?
Because it's a headline now. He's a big name. Like, who are you more interested in? R-Truth is 24/7 champion or Rob Gronkowski is trying to get new eyeballs?
Sure, but then, like, someone's gonna take it back from him eventually, which I assume they're gonna use to set up a storyline for him one day making a surprise appearance and entering into a ring and, like, trying to become a superstar. I could see them making, with the little WWE knowledge.
Yes, give it to me.
I could see them making his adjustment period into being a superstar mm-hmm. his storyline. Like, kind right. of leaning into the, like, we have to turn this guy into a superstar, so they make that his storyline, where it's like, they don't hide from the fact that they don't know if he's capable of doing it, but he almost gets forced into doing it by these things, powers out of his control that he has to, that's what I could see them.
I thought you were going to say make Paul Heyman his manager so that he never has to get on the microphone.
Oh, that would just, no, see, that's the thing. Then, in order to do that, you need a guy like Brock Lesnar who's like, yeah, I don't want to talk.
Yeah.
But Gronk wants to be an actor. Gronk wants to be a Hollywood star. And, like, it's very hard to be like, I just don't think you're capable of doing
it. Yeah.
So they're going to have to find a way around that, which they're pretty good at.
He'll probably grow into it, too, if he keeps doing it. He'll probably improve. I don't know how much, but
we'll see.
You know.
We'll all find out together because wrestling is the only sport we have, except two pieces of news that have happened in the last few days. Is somebody in an Armageddon movie?
I thought Jay was going to play a drop of something. What was that?
It sounded like a rare,
yeah.
Like a score. Might have been later. Are you scoring like this podcast?
Later. I do that in post.
Ah, of course, of course. Two bits of news today. Baseball is working on some sort of biodome situation to try to have their season. And the other, what I was originally going to say, Dana White is saying that he's gonna buy an island.
Didn't he buy it
so that UFC fighters? I don't know.
I think he has secured the location.
He secured it. Secured the island.
Secured the package.
What does that mean?
You probably put a down payment on it for however long.
And in movies, when you secure a location, it means like you have it on lockdown. It's under control.
Okay.
So he has secured the location. Is what he said.
Okay. I just want to know, let's just have all the questions we have about this thing. My first question, what is the process of buying an island? Who is the salesperson?
So I think I don't know if he bought it. I think he probably has rented it. I've seen him say like for 2 months, I have it locked up for 2 months. So
that's, you can rent an island?
I guess somebody owns it. Right? Whether it's a government or...
Sure, but then, so that's exactly my question. My question is then, what's the law on that island?
It also said that it was American. It said that it was in the United States.
So then is Dana White governor of that island? Like, who, do they elect officials? What territory do they fall under?
I think Disney, like, owns the island.
It's possible that it's like, yeah, it's possible that it's like one of those little islands off of, like, Florida, maybe? Like, just like one of the little, placed like
a key,
I don't know, like a
one
key,
of the keys?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I think, I'm pretty sure Disney, like Disney Cruise Lines, like owns an island somewhere in like the Bahamas where you, like you cruise and then you go to Disney's island. I don't know like what that means. If it's just, if it was previously just a landscape.
President Mickey Mouse? I don't understand. Well, I mean,
yeah. Yeah.
It's my president.
So nothing but respect for my That's president. Right. But so Dana White wants to make a fight island. He wants to make Fight Island where the fighters go and they fight.
Which, isn't that the plot of a movie?
It is. And I forget what movie, but it absolutely is. Mortal Kombat? Question mark? It's at least the subplot of like 9 action films.
I'm pretty sure that's Mortal Kombat.
It could be.
I want to say.
It would make sense. What doesn't make sense is doing this in real life. it also doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. I heard this story before the baseball story. I don't know. Time is a flat circle. I have no idea which one came out first. But my first thought was like, if you're just going to have no fans and it's like all locked down and it's, you don't need the island.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Which now this baseball story.
You do. Moves. You do. Hold on. I'm working through this. Wait. I'm muting myself.
So she said she wants us to wait and then silence.
Oh my god, the shot of Indy in the background is amazing. He's just like, his face is just like popped into the side of the screen.
I think it's because the international fighters can't come into the U.S. because all the flights are restricted. So they can have international fights on this private island.
God, that is, thank you. That's very smart.
Yeah, my pleasure.
I knew there had, because I was like, this doesn't make any sense.
Yes.
I mean, I think a lot of countries don't let you leave, too, though.
There could be that, yeah.
Well, a lot of flights are canceled.
I'm assuming it'll be, like, private everything provided by the UFC. Right?
I mean,
can they not?
Nuts.
I don't know.
You'd have to have private planes and all that stuff. They're not going to, like, fly domestic to a private island.
Right.
So, for baseball, should we move on? Should we talk about them both at the same time, or should we wrap up whatever is happening in the UFC and talk about
baseball? Let's talk about all of the weird.
Yeah. So baseball is saying that they're working on, it's not finalized, but they're working on trying to figure out if it's possible to basically have the season, the baseball season, in Arizona, where spring training was, at a combination of like spring training stadiums, no fans. They're working out the idea of robot umps, like using the strike zone that we have to figure out strikes so that the
Can you imagine?
Umps will never be back.
After all of the BS about the strike zone, then they're like, you know what? We're just going to do robots.
And then, you know, it's the other thing, no mound visits. It's like all these things baseball has tossed out there to move the game along are now like socially distancing required. And then they were talking about having, instead of sitting in the dugout, they would sit 6 feet apart in the stands because the stands will be empty.
That's so weird.
Baseball in Arizona in the summer,
Not
it will
smart.
Be okay at first, but it's going to be bad. But basically it was like everybody would live there and be quarantined there. Like you'd have to be away from your family. You wouldn't be able to see your family for the whole season.
What about all the production crews? Like, all of those people would also have to be there, too.
Their thing is, like, they keep saying that, you know, because baseball players are young and healthy, they're not a high risk. And it's like, I feel like that's a thing we're learning isn't necessarily true.
Yeah,
it kind of is hit or miss with certain people. And also, GMs, like, base coaches, front office people, like, what?
Lots of old dudes involved in baseball.
Yeah. Like, I don't think anybody's sitting around being like, baseball, lots of young guys. Like, there's old dudes. And so, you can be young and have an underlying issue you don't even know about. Or one that doesn't keep you from playing baseball, but is still an issue when it comes to COVID-19.
Yeah.
So it's like, this just feels like a pie in the sky money grab.
Like, even if they sit apart.
That's crazy.
The batter has to be directly next to the catcher. There's like not a way around that. And then that person
also
goes stand next to the first baseman. And then like, it's just going to be a rotation of like, oh my God, it's such a bad idea. It's such a bad idea.
It's like the pitcher throws the ball and then it gets hit.
We're forgetting about
and then
the
someone
ball.
Has to catch it the and ball. Then throw it again, and so they're you touching the be, same thing.
This was like in the when this all
this
started.
Makes no remember, sense.
Remember back when none of us took any of this seriously, and basketball was like, oh, we recommend that guys use their elbows instead of high five, and it was like, and then touch the communal basketball? Like, what? The germs aren't just on our hands. Like, this
it does
this,
not make sense.
This virus can live on surfaces for a wild amount of time.
Yeah.
That surface can be a ball, you dummies. They all touch the same ball.
Oh, it's a terrible
yeah,
idea.
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be a big NO from everybody. There's no way that the players agree to do that.
The thing that's crazy, though, is like a couple months ago when we were talking about playing games without fans, the debate was, would you watch a game without fans? Remember that?
Yeah.
And people were like, no, it'd be too weird. Or like, no, I don't want to play. I think LeBron originally, he walked it back eventually, but I think he said he wouldn't want to play a game without fans. Now it's like, that's not even, we know that part's out. Now it's like, we are so desperate for sports that I could see people being like, okay, do it. Do it. Because we need something to watch.
I have a
like,
suggestion.
We all watched WrestleMania.
Watch the challenge. It's back.
Okay, we got to talk about it. But let me first say, I don't understand why NASCAR wouldn't come back first.
Yeah, NASCAR makes sense to me.
Except pit crews. Yeah, but, somebody brought up pit crews.
Yeah, but I feel like pit crews could probably wear their in suits.
Don't they wear, they could wear masks.
Yeah, just face
like, they don't
also,
to
couldn't
not.
They, and they have gloves on already.
Yeah.
I think we've solved it.
I mean, it just feels like that's the sport that's like,
NASCAR?
and you don't need fans there. Same thing with golf is like, just carry your own clubs.
Yeah.
Well, that, Katie, like that. God, that's ridiculous. Sorry.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
yell Baba Booey at yourself right before you hit it. Like, it's not, who cares?
Oh, man.
All right. So the challenge. The challenge is a thing we used to watch on this podcast and talk about. And then we just kind of stopped. I genuinely just stopped watching it. I don't remember why. It wasn't anything personal. I think I just got busy.
Yeah.
But I've been told, producer Camille was like, you should be watching the challenge again. She was like, the twist this season is incredible. It's going to be a good season. For those who don't know, the challenge is on MTV. If you're old enough, it used to be Real World Road Rules Challenge, where literally a cast of the Real World would take on a bunch of people from Road Rules. And now it's just gotten to a point where it was, for a while there, it was just old people, the same people from Real World and Road Rules. But it wasn't split down that line anymore because Road Rules wasn't a show. But you just kind of got this recurring cast of people like Johnny Bananas and CT and Robin or whatever. Yeah, that would all just kind of compete with each other, and it became this, like, reality show, but also athletic competitions,
Yes.
And we joked once that it was the fifth major sport of the U.S., but the problem is that it's all edited, and you don't know what the rules are, really, and it's very unclear. Point is, now it's gotten to a point where they bring in, like, British reality stars. They had that one guy from Turkey that one season that I stopped watching. Like, they now have international people from reality shows that basically come and do a reality show Olympics. And apparently this season there's a good twist. Ashley, have you watched it yet? Because I have not.
Yes, I have. And I'm very proud of it. I made time for it and I watched it and it was great.
All right. You seem mad at us.
How much of it? How far are we behind?
Just
if
one.
Katie and I wanted
the
to
next,
start today.
No, just one. Oh, the next one. It's on Wednesdays. So you just have to watch one episode
so
before
could,
tomorrow.
We could feed. So do you want to give us a quick challenge recap so that we know what happened?
Or like sell
or
it.
Or you just want to sell it? Sell us the show?
Yes. I don't have to sell the whole thing. I'll just tell you what the twist is because the twist is great this year. There is in a limit.
What's the name? Is it Inferno? Is it Gauntlet? Like what
oh,
is the?
Oh man, my brain just stopped working.
They had an island one season. Remember that
yeah,
season?
Yeah, they're like.
That was when Johnny Bananas was the bad guy.
God, what is it? Johnny Bananas always the bad guy.
No, Johnny Bananas knows how to play the game.
Is he here for the right reasons, though?
No. Well, yeah, because the reasons are the game.
Okay.
Johnny Bananas is a master at playing the game. He's not necessarily.
I haven't
a master
watched this.
At the
I haven't watched this since the Real World Road Rules Challenge semester at sea season. Which
oh my god!
I want to say that was like that. 97, 98.
I don't even remember that. I wasn't born.
Road Rules semester at sea. You were a zygote. You had not even thought about
a zygote.
What is this called? It's maybe like Madness or something. Hold on.
All right, it doesn't matter. Go ahead.
No, it's really good. No, it's really going to bother me. Okay, yeah, you Google it.
I'll Google it. You do the other
thing. So usually they have like a really like a huge mansion and they all get drunk and go in the hot tub and blah, blah, blah. Like they're in an actual bunker this time. like underground.
Total madness.
Thank you. Total madness. They're like trying to mess with your head
for this time.
But the whole point is like you do these challenges. Whoever is the winner gets to be like in power, and they get to pick a person to go into this like that's called purgatory this season. So an elimination competition against somebody the whole house nominates to go in. So every week, two people go head to head to compete, and the loser leaves, and the winner gets to stay and come back. So the social politics of like building alliances and who gets voted in and then who wins is in power, and like, but they create tension with the people that they nominate and blah, blah, blah. So you've always wanted to avoid eliminations so that you don't get sent home. And then like at the end, there's usually like three men and three women who go to a final challenge, and whoever wins that wins the money. So TJ, who is the host of the show, basically said, I'm tired of watching people skate by and just like their goal being to make it to the end. This season, you can't go to the final unless you win an elimination.
Oh.
So you, and so now the whole strategy of the game has changed, because it's like, do I want to go in early so that I have like a weaker opponent, or do you not get people in so they can't go in and they can't win an elimination? Like the whole like dynamic of it has changed in a way that I'm fascinated by, because the politicking used to like get old. I love to just watch people like do the challenges, and now I'm like very in on the politics side of it because we've never seen it before.
It's like if you look at, if we're treating it like the fifth major sport, which I think at this point it's the first major sport.
It sure is.
It is like a league that is the opposite of all of our other leagues, which is that any suggestion, anytime someone's like, oh, you know what, I think the season was a little too drama heavy, they're like, great, so next season we're going to completely change
right.
it so that it's not drama heavy. Like, it's a constantly evolving sport in a way that I don't think any other major sport could do, because people would be like, sorry, what are the rules again? Yeah. But because it's a TV show, we're like, whatever. But like, they are constantly being like paying attention to the product and what's too much and what's too little, and like how people are cheating the system. And then they just completely change the system. And you get to watch that piss off the quote unquote athletes. You get to watch them be like, that's not fair. And we're all like, doesn't matter. Do it.
I think one of my favorite parts is that like when the athletes come in, they don't know the title of the season. They don't know like what the twist is going to be. They don't know any of that stuff.
They don't know how much
know anything. So they're like, go ahead.
The other best thing about the challenge is that these people need the money.
Yeah.
Now, that's a weird thing to say. We're in a weird time. Forget all the economic struggles that the world is going through right now. Forget how unsympathetic this sounds. Think about it like a TV show or like a sport. If you were watching baseball and you knew that athlete needed that check, they play very differently than if they're just a rich athlete who's like, yeah, I want to play my best. These people are like, they need it, which is why there was one season, a lot of seasons ago, where it was like pairs in the final. Mm-hmm. And at the very, very end, they were like, you can either choose to split the money or take the money. But if you both say split, it will split it. If one of you says take, the other one says split, the person who said take gets it. If you both say you know what I mean? So, and then Johnny Bananas to whatever his partner was,
she
stabbed him in the back.
No,
and kept it.
Reverse. He took it from her.
No, I think first she kept it and then he did it to somebody else.
I don't think so.
And they hated each other for that.
No.
I feel like he got screwed.
No, he screwed her. He hated her because she like put him in an elimination.
Oh, you're right. She's like, because then she cried. And
yeah,
she was just like,
I was playing the game. You went into an elimination and you lost. It was your fault. Like, he specifically like took $250,000 from her.
But then when you think about it, it's like, I mean, it's like the whole here for the right reasons thing. They're all there because like, what else is Johnny? But so I mean, I know he now hosts that show that comes on after SNL, which is like, all those people are like, I need this money because I got to make it to the next time I get asked to come. And I'm getting older and I need, and you've gotten to see, these characters that like early in the challenge, like CT, were like messes. Like, they were just drunk problems. You've gotten to see them evolve into like, and part of that's because DM died, which was the saddest shit. But like, you got to see him grow up.
He's a dad
like,
now.
Now he's like, he's a dad. Now he comes and when he plays for the money, he's like, I need for my kids. Yeah. Before it was like, protein powder. Oh, I don't care. But like, you've gotten, and like Derek Dance. Is like this like great dad guy who's got this crazy dad strength. Like, it's funny to see these like dudes that you were like, they're always going to be this way. It's one of the only reality TV shows that like forces people to kind of grow up and document it. Whereas the other ones, you're like, once you're a reality star, it's like, now you're going to be that for the rest of your life, but you're not really growing. You're kind of just
staying. I think it's because it's been going on for so long. Like, this is like the 35th season, I think, of it.
Oh my
so
God.
Like people who have been around from the beginning, like, and granted, no it's way. Not like necessarily
no,
one.
I would
year.
Say if it's not 35, it's if it's not 35, it's 40. Like, I think I gave up on 30.
It's long.
Like, Jay thinks it's too many, but there's a lot.
It's like Survivor. It's like, there's a lot of seasons of that. And so it's like you.
Oh, speaking of which, side note, sorry. Did you see that the Big Brother house, they're not telling them about COVID-19? So none
That's
of them
insane.
Know.
Ugh. That's like that. I saw some headline that was like Jared Leto leaves a 12-day meditation to find out that the world is under a global pandemic. I'm like, just go back to the fucking meditation.
It's such a Jared Leto. It's such a Leto headline that he walks out and is like, namaste away from me? Like, what? I have no idea what's
what
happening.
What if one of their family members gets sick?
I imagine
they don't.
To
they never. Yeah, they never. They're cut off from the outside world. They don't have TV.
No, I know, but like, don't they have like a moral obligation?
I
to
bet
tell
if
them?
Somebody's dying, probably, but I don't know. Huh. I don't know. I just thought that was funny that like these reality shows that exist for so long.
I can't imagine.
Well, that's what I was thinking about the challenge. I was like, if they were taping the challenge right now, it would be like. And on top of that, we're on a private island, and you have to go back to the United States where everyone's.
I feel like they'd have to stay on the island. I don't know. Yeah, that would be a whole
the
other
amazing
show.
Race, the Amazing Race would be a fantastic season right now. Like, it's go just ahead, like try to get to this other country.
Oh it's God. Just like the Hunger Games. It's just the televised version of the Hunger Games.
God. Yeah, that's a good sell.
Yeah, I would watch
so
that.
I think we're gonna watch the challenge.
Yes.
And then
what
we
were you gonna say,
talk
Ash?
About it.
I forget. I was gonna say that's all. Oh, I think okay. I was also the plot of a movie because it was a bad joke.
The Hunger Games.
Yeah. I know we had this slotted in for later. But it feels like it should go now. A thing we've been completely forgetting to do within our March Madness. Ashley,
oh my gosh.
Let's head on over to Ashley for our Bachelor Update doodly-doo.
Oh my God.
Hi,
it ended weeks ago.
I don't know if I remember. Hi, I'm Ashley Brayman here with my best guess at what happened 7 years ago at the end of The Bachelor. Okay, where did we leave off? Did we remember that Madison left? Did we know
yes.
that? Okay,
yeah.
So
yeah,
we saw that
Madison left, and Peter decides not to tell Hannah and that until like. The engagement. So he goes through with proposing to Hannah Ann and like in the middle of it, like speeding through being like, you make me so happy. You've always been there for me. And then Madison left and we'll talk about that later, but blah, 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 blah. Will you marry me? And she's like, yes. She's so excited. She's over the moon. So they get engaged. I thought that was the cage door again. I was like, wait, what? We're back in the cage.
No, that was the house door. We're in or out of it. I'm not sure.
So they get engaged and then we see a like several like months later thing. I'm going to skip part. So wait, he tells his family they're over the moon because they're obsessed with Hannah Ann. Did we talk about that?
Obsessed.
Wait, did I?
No.
Gosh.
Tell us a little bit about
just
the barb.
But only get to. Hey, just get the good
okay,
stuff.
Okay, so the family was.
He proposed to Hannah Ann. His family loved Hannah Ann. Didn't
hated
like
Madison.
What happened at the live finale?
Well, so no, first we need them to break up. So we see them like have a convert, like meet up in like a safe house, essentially, where. he says to Hannah Ann, like, thanks for staying with me this whole time and like working through all this crap, where we discovered that like he had to call Hannah B for closure And Hannah Ann was like, we're engaged? What do you mean? You should have had that before you proposed to me. And like, he couldn't get over Madison. And so they end the engagement. She's pissed. She does a great job of becoming likable and like standing up for herself in that show and in the live finale, but not at all during the actual season. So then we get to the live finale.
Mommy.
Hey, buddy.
The cage door is open!
Us, it's been released from the cage.
Mommy.
This is the bit.
Daddy!
I'm almost done.
What do you want to say?
I was in Toy Story.
Awesome. High five.
Ooh!
Nice!
Don't let him watch Toy Story 3. It gets very dark at the end.
So at the live finale, what happens? Okay, so we had seen
Madison's
so
there.
We see, yeah, but we're forgetting a part. Not me. I would never forget this. I almost called him Ryan Seacrest. His name's Chris Harrison. He goes
Same
to
man.
Visit yeah. Madison and is like, wow. How are you doing? And she's like, you know, this has been really hard. And he's like, do you regret it? And she's like, yeah. And he's like, well, just so you, and she was like, well, what happened at the end of the season? And Chris Harrison's like, well, Peter got engaged, and she's all sad. And then he's like, but he's not engaged anymore. And she's like, what? And then they arrange a meeting where Madison comes to Peter, and Peter's like, what are you doing here? And she's like, Chris Harrison told me that you weren't engaged anymore. And they're like, oh my gosh, what should we do? Let's talk. So then at the finale.
If Chris Harrison showed up at my house, I would be like, I keep the door closed even before the social distancing and be like, what do you want? I don't want it.
Go away. Take your camera crew and leave.
Go away. Go away. I'm living my life.
So they have a very heated conversation between Hannah Ann and Peter. Hannah Ann comes out and Peter's mom is like, essentially like, woo, 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 like loves her, hates Peter for like getting rid of her.
She's insane.
She's a crazy person.
She comes off like an insane
person. Total crazy person. Madison comes out. They talk and they're like, so what are you guys doing? Are you going to try it? We don't really know. And we don't really get a definitive answer because the whole time Peter's mom is like roasting Madison live in front of everyone. And Peter's like, we should let us be in love. And she's like, you guys are young and stupid and you don't have anything in common. And like, you made the biggest mistake ever.
Yeah, lady. Have you ever seen the show before?
It was pretty intense. She obviously didn't support them being together. Like several days after that, they announced
two.
Was
I think.
It only two?
I feel
two.
Like it was two.
They announced two. That they were breaking up or they were ending it or they weren't even trying. And it was like, well, okay. So Hannah Ann is out.
Neat.
Madison's out. A couple days after that, he's photographed with Kelly in Chicago.
Ooh,
you didn't see
this?
So it was when the quarantine was supposed to be starting and they were like out at the, what's that called? The pier or the walk or what's the Chicago one where like the big wheel is?
Sure.
They're out there and he's got
Navy Pier.
Navy Pier. Thank you. He's got her like slung over his shoulder and they're like laughing and have a good time with like the two of them. And I think her brother, and you're like, wait a minute, what?
Whoa.
And then I find out that Hannah B is in quarantine with Tyler C even. Yeah. So Hannah Ann made a play that she wanted to date Tyler C, but then Hannah B like flew to Florida and they're quarantining together and they're like doing TikToks and stuff. And they're very cute. And I'm shipping so hard, which I think would ultimately give you the win there, Jay. I don't know.
Well,
it's all very unclear.
This is what we decided. Whoever gets proposed to is the winner.
Okay, so
because remember the season that she proposed to or the guitar
Jen.
Guy proposed to her and I won, even though they ended up not together.
Yeah.
So
technically Jay won. Jay won.
I definitively lost. You picked Madison.
You lost like week one.
I lost week one and then somehow lost again the last seconds of the championship. Like I don't know how I did.
Yeah, that was.
I had the worst record in the league and also made it to the playoffs, made it to the championship game, and got dunked on by his mom.
It was really bad.
Barb burned everything down.
Oh my god!
Her name's Barb.
And then I heard a rumor yesterday that Peter and Kelly are also quarantined together, like in the long term.
Oh my gosh. Wow. This is, I like that weirdly makes me happy because I feel like she could help him grow up a little bit. fingers crossed. And that kind of feels like a moral victory, which I'll take.
Can you imagine her, like, waking up early, stressing out about how to do her lawyer job with him in the house, and him being like, waking up at noon and being like, "Sup, babe?" And she's like, I'm busy. I'm closing a case right now.
Yeah, like, I'm doing work. He's like, I had an idea for a content opportunity.
I'm going to go take a sponsored Instagram post. I'll be right back.
So it was so weird. They had Kelly in the audience at the live finale because she wasn't at the Women Tell All, which was like a controversy. Huh. So she was there and they made a point to be like, Kelly's here. And she like waved and everyone's like, wait, why? Are they going to end up together? But he like clearly was still obsessed with Madison at that point. And Kelly watched him be obsessed with Madison and now they're quarantining together. It's so much. And that was your Bachelor update. Doodly-doo.
Doodly-doo. Woo, no, you skipped a part. So there's a new season coming out with a twist?
This is a different show.
Bachelor.
It's not even the
Listen
same
to
show?
Your Heart, well, presented like, by the makers of the... I don't know. There's a new show.
So it's not like... Because before they did the... It was like Bachelor, Bachelorette, or Bachelor... Would it go Bachelorette, Paradise, Bachelor,
yes,
Dancing with the Stars, would go in that time slot? Is it not in that same time slot?
Like on Mondays at the
Is it the
window?
Bachelor time slot?
I think so. It's called Watch the Bachelor Presents, Listen to Your Heart TV show. So it's...
Okay, so what
the
is
series
it?
Premiere is so April dumb. 13th. It is... Okay. I think a 6-episode special run. So it's only 6 episodes. And the premise is that people fall in love through music. So it's like Paradise in that it's like a bunch of men and a bunch of women who are trying to pair up, not like one sex with a big pool of the other gender. And I'm not really sure. I think they get paired up to like make music together. I think they live in the mansion.
So is it like Flirty Dancing?
Oh, I can't answer that question because I haven't seen it.
Let me tell you about Flirty Dancing,
do.
A show with a similar premise in that people fall in love through dance movement.
Wow.
So
which is how they normally
girl,
do, for the
one
record.
Guy, I mean, it's a multitude of couples, but it's like it's not like they have a chance to be with somebody else. It's one guy and one girl, I think, in each episode. And it's like they teach them both separately a dance, and then they meet for the first time while performing the choreography of this dance.
And expect them to fall in love?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's how you fall in love, Ashley.
I mean...
Try it. Why don't you try it for once?
It's wild. It's like taking American Obsessions and smashing. It's like reality show meets flash mob meets like a movie where people fall in love and everybody dance. It's so weird.
Yeah. So I'm probably gonna.
We should watch it.
Yeah.
Did you watch that stupid show that you saw a preview for once and I cringed and you went,
no,
"That looks so
I
good."
Didn't.
And then okay, all right.
Something about a playlist.
I had something else I wanted to know if you... did you do the Escape the Room I sent you?
No, not yet, but I'm going to because I don't have a printer. But I have a one of my three friends who's like, I like Escape the Rooms, is like that on crack, like obsessed with Escape the Rooms. And so I forwarded it to her. I was like, look what my friend found. And she's like, oh my God, I want to do this so badly. And she's like, it says...
Did you look into it and like see that it looked... Does it look legit?
Yeah, it looks legitimate. And she like, she did all the research. She's like, okay, you need to print all this stuff out. It says you need 2 people. So like, we have to do it together. And I was like, I don't have a printer. I'm sorry. She's like, I am going to print this out and mail it to you. And we'll have like our husbands take the kids. And then like, we'll do it together over like FaceTime.
Oh, that's
so we're
going to
try. If you're awesome. If you're interested in participating,
if you
have a printer.
Yeah, cool. if you guys like Escape the Rooms, it's a, I don't know if I've talked about this podcast before. Reply All is a podcast that I love. And the, one of the hosts, PJ Vogt, it's V-O-G-T.
I think there's an I.
Go to his Twitter.
Is there an I in there? No.
No.
No. It's just V-O-G-T. It would be Voight at that point. But either way, him and his friend like, coordinated and made, Escape the Room.
Oh, they made it?
Do at your house. Yeah, it's really cool. I didn't like click on it. I just immediately sent it to Ashley and was like, you should probably look at this. So that seems kind of neat. Let us know how that goes and then maybe we'll try it or something. You know, what else? What else do we have to talk about? Should we do an ad read and then talk about some more stuff?
Yes.
All right. What,
Ashley. I mean, here's the thing. You got to give the people what they want, to quote our good friends Jay it's and not,
I promise you. I promise you they don't want this.
I would beg to differ.
Can I make a – can we have one caveat? I'll do this. But I'm going to play the music on my phone on my side.
Okay. Yes.
No. Because we've had so many issues with this, with the audio and stuff. It makes me cringe just knowing it, and I can't
– I would prefer that, actually. Because it's really hard. Okay. It's really hard to listen to when you're behind.
It's really tough. It's really, really tough.
So I have been on a Disney bender with my child, which has been great. When I'm not feeling very guilty about it, although we can talk about this later. I have been making him watch stuff in Spanish, which makes me feel better. So I was thinking a Disney song, and I can't remember if we've done Part of Your World from The Little Mermaid. If we have.
I think we have, but no, we haven't.
Okay, if we have, I don't remember, and so could you do Part of Your World for this read, please?
Ay vey.
You said it.
Okay, here we go. Is everybody ready? Because I'm not.
So ready.
Do you ever feel like you're always on? Like you need to hit the reset button to get ready for what's next? My favorite way to chill. It's simple, I crack open a Coors Line. There's only one beer out there that's made literally to chill. And that's Coors Light. The mountain's on, the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment. Made to chill, it's a beer. These days everything is go, go, go. Nonstop hustle has taken over, and it's kind of a lot. There's work, friends, family, oh, and a million pressing social issues. An expectation to be on all the time. If the pace of things is wearing you down, take a moment, pause, refresh yourself, and when you choose to turn off, reach out for one beer that's made to chill. Coors Light is brewed with a 3-step cold process. Cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. So it's actually made to chill. The mountains on Coors Lights, cold activated bottles and cans turn blue when chilled to icy cold perfection. Born in the Rockies in Colorado, 1978. And Coors Light is refreshing and crisp. And it's only 102 calories. That's why Coors Light is the one I choose when I need a moment of chill. So when you want to reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. I've said that a thousand times. You can have Coors Light. You can have Coors Light. Delivered by going to get. Delivered by going to get dot Coors Light dot com and finding local delivery options near you. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Light Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Wow.
Bravo.
God, I love it.
Could
so
you hear
much.
The music? Because yes. At one point I realized I moved my phone.
No, we can hear it great.
Here's the thing. That ad read is just, once you read it, you're like, these are the same.
Yeah.
It says the same stuff a lot.
It's made to chill.
Or was I reading the, no, yeah, it does say it a lot.
You got it.
The mountains turn blue,
the
guys,
cans,
in case you didn't
cans.
Know.
Both of them turn them blue.
Oy vey. All right. What else? We got the private island. We talked about we didn't talk about the draft.
Oof.
The NFL draft. News, if there is any. They're making a digital draft because, you know, up until recently, they continued to say they were going to do it, which they're not. And now they're deciding that they're going to have to do it digitally. I guess teams are going to have digital conference, probably a lot like this. But the thing that stood out to me about this story, and I know it also stood out to others in the chat, is that they want, like, EA Sports or something reached out and told the athletes who are going to go in the early rounds, the early round draft picks, to prepare what they want their moment of interaction with Roger Goodell to be. Am I getting that right?
Yeah. Can you tell me a little bit more?
I can't, because that's off memory. The doc is empty, but I feel like Jay might know all the details.
All I know is that they, once they reached out to them, they were like insinuated that like they're going to create some sort of virtual moment between them and Roger Goodell, which is like the most Roger Goodell. Like they said, the article was like EA Sports approached these athletes. I'm like, Roger Goodell approached these athletes to be
either
like.
Way. The thing to me is like, this is the obvious. There's like a lot with this quarantine and all these new rules. You're going to lose. You have to lose a lot of aspects of your sport, right? Fans, like fans being a live audience, that's got to go.
Right.
Some of them are like, man, that's going to really suck. And some of them you're like, well, that's kind of good. We've been kind of looking for a way to get rid of that anyway. Like baseball saying it's going to consider robot umps is like a conversation and a debate we've been having that now is like, look, we got forced to do it. Let's just roll with it. Not being able to interact with the commissioner at the draft, a noticeably uncomfortable, historically weird moment because Roger Goodell somehow still hasn't really learned how to dap anybody up, is a thing you were going to have to lose for the better of the draft. And for them to think that this is the moment they have to preserve is wild. Wild. I said that if it were me.
Oh, boy.
We gotta test the limits on this thing. We gotta see what the rules are. Because right now, to me, I'm like, there's only really one option. Like, you wave at each other or you, like, fake fist bump. They're all corny. But I think one athlete should be like, I'm gonna go to the side of my screen and I'm gonna kiss. And I want you to put my screen next to Roger Goodell's screen and Goodell will kiss the other side. So it looks like we're kissing. I think that's what we should do.
Oh, man. I can't picture the logistics of it.
I can't picture it working. I can't picture a world in which like, oh, I hope everybody says this because this is the only one that can work. I can't picture there being a right answer to the question. What is the right answer?
I don't know how they're even going to attempt it. Is it like they're going to make a list and then have Roger Goodell filmed doing all of these things and have young men, like also record themselves like faking fist bumps so they can try to then marry them together.
I can't remember if in Madden there is an already digital version of Roger Goodell or not, but I would bet that there is. And my guess is like they have this engine like to build out what these players look like. And so they could probably build the digital versions of all of these guys. Like the same way that when you're playing Madden, it looks like Todd Gurley.
Yeah.
And they're going to build the digital versions of these guys and they're going to interact with digital Roger Goodell to do a fist bump or whatever else.
So the new version of like sitting at a table by yourself on camera and not getting drafted is like you have a digital version of you trying to kiss Roger Goodell and you never get to use it because you get drafted too late.
Oh my God.
It's a Fortnite avatar.
The digital version of that, that beef jerky Sasquatch being at your house and you never get drafted is that you sent off a video of you kissing Roger Goodell and it exists somewhere.
Yeah. Oh, man. I guess that EA would probably make those animations and so they would cut it and it would just be like the Fox Sports football and then robot probably, like meeting, you know what I mean?
His name is Cletus. Show some respect. but then I can just imagine that EA would then use this to push Madden of like we've already put these, we're going to have to make them and put them in the game anyway and now they all have their own and they'll probably be like you can play with just the draft class and blah, blah. That makes sense. Still
so that's probably what would happen. But when I heard it, I was like hologram Goodell, like they did hologram Tupac at Coachella. That's what I
just
want
to know. I got to find out what the Zoom link is because I want to hack their Zoom so that I can make sure Roger Goodell still gets booed because it's not addressed. it's not a draft unless you boo every time Roger Goodell gets on the stage. God. He probably heard it was going digital and he was like, hell yeah. He's got like a laugh and applause button that he probably just pushes to be like, this is so nice.
We should just start a Zoom chat for during the draft.
Just to boo.
Anybody can join in and just boo with us.
I like
it's like
him.
A booing Zoom chat. Just come on in. Yeah.
I was thinking of doing a segment for our show this week where I just send every famous person I know a Zoom link and then I wait in the chat and film it and just see who shows up. I think I'm going to do it tonight. Just like send it. I'll have to send it with, maybe I'll just send it with like one line that's like, join me for a drink and then a Zoom link. And then we'll just see. And then maybe we'll get a really weird combination of like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't even think of the weirdest combination of people. It will most likely be just a video of me drinking by myself. And then I'll just send the link to like Mariah and Camille. Be like, come drink with me.
Oh, that's cute.
That sounds good.
But I think I'm gonna try it.
That would, I'm 100% on board for that.
All right. Should we talk about Jay Cutler and Christy Cavallari?
It's so much.
It's a Twitter thread. You can find it. It was trending yesterday. Basically, from what I gathered, and correct me where I'm wrong, but this is your very Cavallari update. They went on vacation to the Bahamas right when this thing was kind of starting, with her hairstylist and her hairstylist's partner and Jay Cutler and Kristen. They were posting on Instagram about it. Then they said they got stuck there and that they were quarantining there, but the person who made the Twitter thread was like fact checking it and was like, you could still fly. You could still leave. And they're making all these posts about how they're stuck in the Bahamas. Even while people are like, I don't think that's true. I think you not only can leave, I think the U.S. government at one point during one of their posts, the U.S. government had been urging people come home. Like, this is where you're from. Come back here. But for some reason they did not listen. And then they're making it sound like they're stuck in this terrible quarantine. Meanwhile, you can't help but think of the people who work at the resort that they're quote-unquote stuck at, who are probably would have been able to go. I know a lot of resorts had a rule that was like, you stay until the last guest leaves and then we're going to shut down. There are people who are non-essential that are working because Christine Cavallari didn't want to fly home, which I've since heard she is home. They're home now. They're back. Probably because people were like, what?
Yeah.
But most noteworthy of all the posts is one in which Jay Cutler is in the ocean and says, no TP required. And so for those who don't know, and for those who are just, for those who are just joining us, when men go number one, they don't use toilet paper. So what Jay Cutler has to be saying by the transitive property, if A then B, then also C or whatever.
That sounds good.
He pooped in the ocean.
Let's just let that sit.
That's what it's...
I don't...
Oh, it's going to sink if you let it sit.
No,
you
know I think it would float.
No, it wouldn't.
Depending on your diet, it might be
float. If it would, like...
I don't know.
When you poop in a toilet, it sinks.
Yeah, but wasn't that the whole thing? Wasn't that the whole thing in the movie that they put a baby Ruth in the pool and made it look like a poop and it floated? Nobody was like, that didn't sink.
Well, I think at that point you just see a poop and you're like, oh... Or you see a baby Ruth, you think it's a poop.
Take a poop, leave
a poop. I mean, if you poop in a toilet, it sinks. Let's talk through the logistics of this. You have to factor
the title of this. Is the title of this?
Take a poop.
Is the title of this episode the poop cast?
It might be.
Because
we have pooped a lot.
We have talked a lot.
We have done a lot of poop talk today.
Yeah. Hey, we talk about the things other people are too afraid to talk about. Did Jay Cutler poop in the ocean?
Can't find out anywhere but here.
I feel like
I think the salt has something to do with it. I don't know what.
I think,
but it feels important.
I think the salt would probably like make it disintegrate faster. You know,
right? I am into that.
Are you guys arguing for pooping in the ocean?
No, we're saying that it would.
Yeah, we're just discussing the.
Oh, okay, no, I think we're agreed. We're in agreement. Fine, it sinks. Fine.
The buoyancy, because isn't the, does the chlorine have something to do with it in the pool?
I don't think poops float in pools either.
I don't know, but here's the thing. Salt. Increasing the salt content increases your buoyancy.
Increases the buoyancy. That's true.
So, I mean, famously, the Dead Sea. So if you're arguing that it wouldn't sink, it sinks in a toilet, but it wouldn't sink in the ocean makes sense. But it sinks in a toilet and sinks in the ocean and you're blaming salt. That doesn't make any sense.
No, I'm not blaming salt.
If anything, the salt is why it might float.
Apparently, if you Google, does poop float or sink?
Does poop float in the ocean?
It says healthy stool should sink in the toilet. Floating stools are often an indication of high fat content, which can be a sign of malabsorption, a condition in which...
Well, what if you asked, what if you Googled, do poops float in the ocean?
Does poop float or sink in?
Or does poop, yeah, does poop float? Probably better than do poops float.
Oh wait, that's whale poop.
This is the best podcast.
I think the title of this episode is poop floats. Like hope floats.
But poop.
Pope facts. Most, poop, you know, facts.
Poop facts.
Poop facts. Poop facts. Oh my god. Oh my god.
Poop facts.
If you have a healthy stool, it should say poop fact.
Poop fact. Poop fact. If it's floating, that means there's a high fat content.
Poop fact.
Oh my god.
Poop fact. Guys, unfortunately, I'm getting a lot of like animal poop in the ocean, like whales and fish.
A tiny puppy can create a very stinky poop. Poop fact.
Very stinky poop. Putting poop on your hands makes you realize how much you use your hands. Poop fact.
It can look like a murder scene even though it's only poop. Poop
oh
fact.
My god.
Does human...
We're going to have to get very specific.
Float in the ocean. Oh my god, it's actually, it auto-completed.
What?
Poop in the ocean. Who, me? That's the name of this article.
This is by Jay Cutler.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, what happens, this is from Quora, my favorite. What happens when humans defecate in the ocean? The answer... Humans are not ocean creatures. Don't do it. Great audio article deals with this topic. Floating poop reveals secrets of whale evolution. So apparently there's a context clue. Whale poop is starting to float. Blah, 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 blah. The soluble bits will dissolve. Wave action or animal interference mechanically separates the dense particulate, neutral particulate, and light particulate. The dense sinks and the less dense float.
Okay.
This isn't really a good answer.
Well, it seems like we're going to have to reach out to Jay Cutler. I just don't know any other way around this predicament. Is he in your phone? Should we invite him to the Zoom chat?
Hold on. Here's an article by... No, he's not. I wish. Here's an article on a website called Inertia, theinertia.com, called The Art of the Aqua Dumped.
Oh, wow.
Dump. Sorry. The Art of the Aqua Dump. It starts with, I would like to preface the following piece with a plea to please not sh** in the ocean. Ah, if I had a dollar for every floating turd I've swum into while spearfishing, I'd have $5.
That...
So five poops.
Floating turd.
That's a lie?
Why would he lie? He works at the inertia.
What's the inertia?
I don't know.
I mean, so cruise ships dump the poop into the water, right? Like,
no way.
I think so. But like,
no,
don't,
I think they
like,
dispose of the tanks when they port.
Do they?
Yeah. I think that's right.
Which is why I think they had an issue with when the cruise ship, way before the sick cruise ship, but when that one cruise ship got like marooned or whatever or stranded in the ocean and they were all pooping in buckets.
So I see.
Because if right. they were dumping it back into the ocean.
According to Gizmodo,
it'd be really bad.
That cruise ships dump over 1 billion gallons of sewage into the open ocean every year.
Then what happened with that? Maybe they
if
just
the sewage is untreated, the ship must be 12 nautical miles from shore before it dumps the passengers' dumps. But like,
oh
aren't
God.
Our sewage treatment plants, don't those ultimately like go to the ocean too? I'm assuming those are treated.
Yeah, but they treat
they
them
there.
First. It treats, yeah, it treats the sewage.
Guys, I need a scientist to weigh in. Someone tell us if human feces would float or sink in salt water, please.
Yeah, take it to the Reddit. Don't do it on Twitter.
This article says if
we
you...
We don't want to be edited with a bunch of poop
This
packs.
Article is telling people how to poop in the ocean, and it says if you typically surf a beach break, chances are this won't be a problem, but if you're lucky enough to live in an area with crystal clear water, remember, people can see you.
That's true.
Yep, that is true.
In the case of perfect aquatic visibility, dive deep, grab the reef... Aren't you not supposed to touch... Grab the reef and push with all your might, then sit back and watch the local fish swarm.
Gross.
Later when you're enjoying a nice plate When you're enjoying a nice plate of locally caught pescado served with a side of rice and beans, try not to think about the fact that a fish ate your poop. Cool. Well, so go to theinertia.com. The art of the dump. Cool.
All right.
Let's move on.
So.
We're all tired of that. Jay, do you want to give us, we saw a headline this week that fit perfectly into a new segment. And that new segment is called Peak French News of the Week.
Is there a French song we can play for this?
Jay has it loaded up, I'm sure.
No, I don't have a song. I was just going to give you like a welcome to the Peak French News of the Week.
Can you give me 1 second?
Yeah.
Can edit this out.
Nah, we're leaving it.
No.
No, edit it out.
I say no. I say no to that. I say no to that. We don't live in.
It's not this. Don't worry, it's an ad. Okay, go ahead.
Hi. I'm Jay Wolf, and this is
the French News of the Week.
Hello, I'm Jay Wolf. This is the French News of the Week.
Say bonjour first instead of hello.
Yeah.
Bonjour.
This week, a Frenchman. Oui, ça va, et toi? A Frenchman, he had to be rescued from the mountains because he must break his quarantine because basically, he needs cigarettes and he has
no
cigarettes.
Why are you screaming?
The music is very loud.
Oh shit, sorry.
So the music is a bit loud for me, so I'm talking louder, but I can be quieter. So this guy, as you know, he's in his apartment. He cannot leave quarantine and he needs a cigarette like everyone. And he decides he must go to the mountains because on the other side of the mountains is Spain. And in Spain, they have cigarettes he can buy. So he decides to climb the mountain. And once he gets to the mountain, he becomes stuck. In the mountain. and must be rescued by a rescue team from the mountain to return him to France.
Oh my god.
And I do not believe he got his cigarette. So
this is
a very sad story. I am very sorry to this man. And that is the French news of the week.
can we replace erotic news of the week with French news of the week? Because that was so much better. That was so much more enjoyable for me.
I would say yes. The problem is, this week, I stumbled upon the erotic news of the week. And now let me tell you before Jay tells you what the news is, that a video of what he's about to describe showed up in my Twitter feed. I did not consent to see it. And I was upset. Jay, will you please give the people the erotic news of the week?
Hi, I'm Jay Wolf.
Hi.
Hi. This is the erotic news of the week. This week... A player on a great football team.
Not this.
Bad
this
luck.
Is not the news, but that's it. It's the second story, but go ahead, do this one first.
Named Kyle Walker, went on Instagram and posted a very smart video saying, like, stay home, take care of yourself. And later that day, that night, was busted having a sex party with a pair of prostitutes in his home.
Oh, no, Kyle.
He was photographed in his underwear handing cash to not one, but two women. And then later that woman went and spoke with the son and blew the lid off of
him. Oh, this, I thought you meant like his son. I'm like, chill out.
No,
you're
the son,
tell
the paper.
That.
Anyway, he's now under investigation by Manchester City, I believe, by the Premier League. And I think so. The cherry on the cake is like, if you are going to have a sex party in the middle of quarantine,
which you aren't.
You should not post an Instagram video urging people to social distance moments before you do that.
Well, that's just like sums up what we've learned in this quarantine in general about celebrities is that they're like, man, this is so hard. And it's a video of them in their mansion with like a beautiful sprawling estate behind them. And it's like, you have no sense of, you're separate. Not. But can you please tell the people that a video of that sex party did not show up in my feed? What did?
Another story from this week. Ying Ying and Lili. Two giant pandas.
I saw this.
Never really get in the mood. After 13 years of living together, finally fornicated.
Oh. They had panda sex.
Had sex naturally. And that's really important because these pandas are very rare.
Yeah, they can do it. not like they can what's not for
artificially inseminate.
Yeah, but what's the word for like they conceived. And so I think they can do artificial conception where they like, you know, they do whatever the words you just said were. I'm not going to say those. But it's better for the panda and for the whatever if they just do it naturally. And so they did it naturally. My issue is not that. My issue is that the zoo that they are kept at announced this news with a video of it happening.
They were rolling.
That is insane.
Yeah,
I didn't need it. And I tweeted back at them. I let them know. I said, we believe you. You did not have to prove it. No one was like, I don't know, zoo. Picks or it didn't happen. But they just were like, let's get out ahead of this thing and show the pandas.
Oh, my god!
Which then I was just like, I felt so dirty watching it.
And then the second time I watched it, I felt even worse.
And then by the 15th time, I was like, I think I like this. No, I scrolled back to the beginning to be like, well, wait, if I'm going to have to watch it, let me rewatch what I just saw because the girl panda looks like she keeps looking down. She's giving the universal sign language body language for is it in?
Oh, my God.
She just keeps being like, I don't
no
think.
No wonder it took 13 years.
And he's
been
just
trying
laying,
for 13 years.
He is laying back. He's like lounged backwards and is just continuing to do his thing. And you just keep seeing her going, I don't think it's in.
Oh my God.
Every woman watching that was like, oh, I recognize. I know what she's doing. I know what she's trying to say. And guess what? Just like with all men, he just did not pick up on the clues. He was not like, oh, are you not fit? He was like, hold on. And she's like, that's my thigh. It's my thigh. So that was my erotic news of the week.
That was something.
Panda porn. We are just out here. Even zoos are out here getting horny on Maine. We need to get out.
Yep.
We got to get outside. Did I skip any important sports news? I don't know about this NBA horse contest, so I don't really care to talk about it. It'll probably be cool. Oh, you know what I wanted to do? Well, I saw somebody else had mentioned this is one segment I think we should have tried. Maybe we save it for next week. A new segment called Things We've Learned About Ourselves.
Oh, yeah. I got some weird ones.
Maybe we do that one. Maybe we do that. Let's do that next week. We can prepare for that. So next week we'll debut a new segment called Things We've Learned About Ourselves in Quarantine. But another thing that's happened since we've all been stuck inside is that I'm sure you've noticed, I've talked about it before, the like economy of social media has changed. Like the rules have changed. There's just, it's like you were at a party with five people that was a good chill party. And then even there were some bad things happening in it, but you like knew how to deal with it. You knew what to expect from it. And then all the other parties got canceled. So everybody showed up at yours. And now you're looking at people and you're like, you've never been to one of these parties. You're acting strange. That just everybody's being weird on the internet. But one thing that started to happen is these like meme games of like, here are 9 things, you can only keep 3, which you'll remember we used to do on this podcast, but we did one's gotta go. So we did 4 things and you would eliminate one. But I saw a bunch of these and I was like, oh, fodder for the pod. And since we're only at 2 hours, we probably need some more room. I was thinking we could look at
this. This is the second take, so we're at 2:30.
But awesome.
Let's keep rolling.
Great. So we could just do one really quick. ESPN tweeted out choose 3, and it was sports movies. And the movies were Friday Night Lights, Rudy, Coach Carter, Remember the Titans, Blindside, Space Jam, Rocky, Glory Road, and Miracle. Now, Ashley, which 2 are you choosing? Because I know Miracle is the 3rd.
I am going to be completely honest. I haven't seen a bunch of these. Yeah.
Really?
I famously have never seen Rocky. I haven't seen. Is Glory Road the one where they're, it's the comedy about ice skating?
I haven't seen it.
No.
No, that's Mystery Alaska.
No, the like figure skating one. What's the one I'm thinking of that like Owen Wilson's in?
Oh, Topic.
No, Topic is Cutting Edge.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Glory Road is a basketball movie.
Oh, are you talking about the actual comedy? Like the We Dance to One?
You talking about Blades of Glory?
There was Glory. Yeah. There was the word Glory in it. That's not that far.
All right. What if we, for the first time in our lives, just picked three and argued for them instead of eliminating all the other ones. Just pick three.
That seems like a backwards way to do it, Katie. We have to, no. If we don't talk through all of them and eliminate them all, how could we possibly fill 25 minutes?
We show way too much of how the sausage is made, and then we get roasted for saying we've never seen these movies that we never would have had to say we never saw if we just picked the ones we wanted to pick.
Okay. Well, Miracle, obviously.
I'll go first. We're going to pick Remember the Titans, Space Jam.
Can we all just pick one?
And probably.
And my pick's Miracle. Yeah, that's how we choose three.
God, you are so bad at following the rules of these games.
I'm keeping Friday Night Lights.
Holy shit. I'm abandoning the segment. I'm abandoning the segment. I thought we each would just say the three and why.
Okay.
But we can't do that.
We're really bad at following the instructions.
Okay, guys. We're going to start again, and I'm going to do snack bags. And we're going to pretend what just happened didn't happen.
Okay.
And we're going to pick three. Is this this looks like more than nine.
I think this one was 12, right?
Okay. Was it pick three then, or was it pick four?
I think they're all pick three.
All right.
Right? Isn't the meme pick three?
Ruffles regular, blue Doritos, dill pickle Lay's, ketchup Lay's, red Doritos. I think this was like a Canadian one because a lot of these we don't have.
Yeah, ketchup
red
Lay's?
Red Doritos. They're, Jay, French people love ketchup chips. Red Doritos, sour cream and onion Ruffles, sweet chili Doritos, salt and pepper kettle chips, Miss Vicky's salt and vinegar, old Dutch barbecue chips, Ruffles all dressed. I genuinely don't know what that is. And I think original hickory sticks are potato sticks.
Mm-hmm.
So, my picks. It was a tough choice, but you can only pick three. I'm going blue Doritos.
That's Cool Ranch, right?
Yep, the Cool Ranch or Cooler Ranch, depending.
Yeah.
I'm going Miss Vicky's salt and vinegar.
So good.
Now, people might not like it. Miss Vicky's isn't my brand of choice, but I love a salt and vinegar chip, unless I've recently experienced a paper cut, in which case I don't want those, but you got to keep them. And then the third pick is tough because I think you might miss a regular chip. I'm also interested in what all dressed means because it sounds kind of delicious. Mm. But it could also just be like salad cream flavored. And as I learned in England, I don't like salad cream. All Dressed might also just be mayonnaise chips. That's
it
strange.
Says here that Ruffles All Dressed, brought over from Canada, where it has been the number one Ruffles flavor. It's a blend of salty, savory, and sweet flavors all at the same time. Think salt and vinegar, ketchup, and barbecue all rolled together.
No, it's too much. So I'm going to go blue Doritos, salt and vinegar, and sour cream and onion Ruffles.
Man.
And no one will kiss me for the rest of my life.
These are good choices.
Blue Doritos, red Doritos, and sour cream and onion Ruffles.
All right. I like the double Dorito. Also, the only quarantine Dorito we have in this household is the sweet chili one. Or the spicy, whatever that spicy one is. The purple bag.
For sure, I'm going salt and pepper kettle chips first. Because those are dope.
I'm always disappointed by them. I always am like, that's not enough salt or it's too much pepper.
Oh,
I don't know.
I like the pepper. The amount of pepper is like real spicy and good. And then I'm also going salt and vinegar Miss Vicky's because
delicious.
Those are delicious.
You're very salty, Jay.
I know. It's really salty, which means I need to... this is really tough, but I think I'm going to go barbecue with my last one. Mm. The old Dutch barbecue chips.
I went through a period of my life where I loved barbecue chips, and I think I ate too much of them, and now I don't eat them anymore.
Oh, man. I love a barbecue chip with, like, a sandwich. Whew, that's a great
I feel like barbecue chips are really hit or miss. Like, when they're good, they're really good. And when they're not, you're like, this is nothing. This is a waste of my time.
I'm hoping that Old Dutch is good. I don't know that brand very well, so, but we'll see.
I agree. Another fun meme was the Work From Home playlist. Billboard released a thing. I don't know. Who cares? Internet said that the top 10 songs on your 10th birthday are now your official Work From Home playlist. So I think we should all look up Billboard charts, January 28th.
Whoa, your voice is doing the thing.
2000 and...
Oh my God, it's doing the... Jay, do you not hear it?
It's
Katie, talk
it.
Again.
It's just your computer.
Hi, Ashley.
Okay, now you're normal. You were like, January 28th?
No, I was doing a bit.
Were you?
My playlist is bomb.
No, I wasn't doing a bit. What is this the year? Okay, 1997. I mean, what? 2005.
Yeah. There you go.
Jay, what do you got?
Number one.
Oh, I only, where'd you get yours so fast? Because I only have the number ones.
I pulled mine. There's a link in the doc, and you can put it in your calendar. But I pulled mine earlier today because I wanted to know.
Nice.
Number one, I'll Be Missing You by then Puff Daddy and Faith Evans featuring 112. Number two, Bitch by Meredith Brooks.
Number three,
Quit Playing Games With My Heart by the Backstreet Boys. Number four, and in parentheses under number four, it says new, Mo Money Mo Problems, the Notorious B.I.G. featuring Puff Daddy.
Oh my God.
And then number five is Semi-Charmed Life. I don't want to keep doing this to you because it just gets better.
I mean,
six
really
is Return of the Mac.
Yes.
Number seven is Do You Know What It Takes by Robin. Eight is Sunny Came Home by Sean Colvin. Nine, Gotham City, R. Kelly. And 10, Look Into My Eyes, Bone Thugs and Harmony from Batman and Robin with Val Kilmer.
Here's the thing.
That is a fire blower.
It's problematic, though.
It is problematic.
R. Kelly's on mine, too.
Yeah, he's going to be on all of ours.
All right, so mine is... is... Unbreak My Heart by Toni Braxton.
What a jam.
That's great.
Don't Let Go by En Vogue.
Oh, wow.
I Believe I Can Fly from Space Jam. I Believe in You and Me from The Preacher's Wife by Whitney Houston.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody, Keith Sweat featuring Athena Cage. Wannabe by Spice Girls.
Nice.
No Diggity by Blackstreet. I'm Still in Love with You by New Edition.
Oh.
Banger, Foolish Games.
I love
by
that song.
Wow.
But weirdly, it says Foolish Games / You Were Meant for Me by Jewel. And I remember those being
maybe
two different songs.
Like a combo remix or something.
Number 10 is Mouth by Meryl Bainbridge, which I feel like is a song I forgot existed, and I'm going to play it just so I can.
I have no idea what that is.
Remember it.
Foolish Games has had a resurgence in like electronica. They like people have remade that song a ton of times.
Katie, while you look that up, I'll read mine. Number one, Boys to Men on Bended Knee. Number two, my list is really good too. Number two is Creep, TLC. Number three is Real McCoy, Another Night. Another night, another dream. Yeah.
Another night, another dream, but always.
Number four is Always by Bon Jovi. Number five, Here Comes the Hot Stepper, which is my jam.
Oh my God.
Number six, I Want to Be Down by Brandy. Number seven, Before I Let You Go, Blackstreet. Number eight, Take a Bow, Madonna. Number nine, Tootsie Roll.
Oh, I love that
by the 69 Boys.
Oh, let me see that Tootsie Roll.
Here we go. And number 10, I'll Make Love to You, Boys to Men. Closing it out.
Want me to.
You are opening it and closing it with Boys to Men. That's incredible.
I couldn't have pictured it any better, honestly.
That's really strong.
Oh, yeah. I've been blown apart. There are
pieces here. I don't know where they go. Oh, my God. I don't know where they go. Me on my salty lips. Ashley, I understand the delay thing now. What's the chorus? Would it be
my fault if I do not remember this song at all. Would I be so bad if I
could turn you on? You don't remember this at all?
Uh-uh.
Ew.
Okay. Apparently, I still know all those
Ashley
words.
Ashley remembers it.
I don't know. My brain does that in the weirdest way.
Also, if you thought singing on a delay was weird, whispering on a delay
was
weird.
Wait, I wasn't whispering. I was just mouthing it. I meant to just mouth it.
No, I could hear every word you were saying. It was very
uncomfortable. Sorry, I was just trying to mouth it.
What? That's
okay. All right. Yep. We got it.
But like right behind the music, it was nice.
Tough to hear.
Behind the music. That's the name of this podcast.
That's the name of this podcast. There it is.
I don't want to go back.
No, we arrived at Behind the Music. Also, I think I'm going to name it, The Art of the Aqua Dump. Okay.
I noticed that one of you put in, there's another one of these Twitter memes that I happen to be involved in. Yeah,
one of those like quarantine house ones where they just list a bunch of people. There's one that's a sports version. That's not the link I meant to click on. And you were in one of them. And you were in it with like, okay, if I was going to make a decision separate from you and I had to pick one sports person, Katie, that I might have a crush on, that I would want to be in their house.
I know, Doc Emmerich's in it.
Who would I pick? Exactly. Your mic cut out and I didn't hear you say it. And he's in your house with you. So I'm obviously picking that one. But yeah, there's...
Hold on, my computer's frozen. Is it working now?
Yeah,
it's working.
It was frozen. I can't click on that link or it'll shut my computer down. So the list came from Awful Announcing. I'll just say, if your job is based off of critiquing people who make bad graphics, not a great graphic.
Yeah.
I'll also say it's pretty transparent that they put the men in first and then each house had to have a woman or two. Because they're at the bottom of the list. And they don't even make an effort to mix them in. Like, they thought of them off top. Yeah.
That's crazy.
But, so who's in my house, Ash?
Mike Francesa, Doc Emmerich, Brian Kenny, Tony Romo, Michelle Tafoya, and you. That's a good house.
I mean...
It's an alright house.
Some people you might want to stay away from, but for the most part,
I don't like that I don't get a say in what house I'm going to be in.
Imagine, but, just take a second and imagine being... the poor person who I'm, imagine being in a house with Colin Coward, Chris Fowler, Bill Simmons, Dick Vitale, Carissa Thompson, and Rebecca.
Well, Katie and Rebecca would just be in the
Rebecca
and Carissa.
I would go see, I would pick that house so that I could just save Rebecca and Carissa could entertain everybody.
Yeah. Cause
but I would just be like, Rebecca, let's go chat. Let's just get out of here. Just, get you away from all this.
Yeah, please.
Girl, let me save you.
Doris is one. She's in a house.
Who's she in there with? Because I'll save her,
Stephen A., Jim Nance, Rob Stone, Jay Billis, Doris, and Pam Oliver.
Rob Stone makes that a big no for me. Not going to that house. I love Rob Stone.
Yeah.
That's not a bad house. But that's just because we know Stephen A.
Go look it up, guys. There's some good options. I'm going with my girl Katie and my boy Doc Emmerich.
Yeah, that's a perfect house for you. Gosh, it's made for you. Jay, what house are you going to? Don't pick me. It's weird.
I guess I'm going to go hang with Rebecca Lowe and like...
That's my answer. Pick your own.
I got to reload the graphic now. House two is
Skip Bayless, Al Michaels, James Brown, A-Rod, Aaron Andrews, Rachel Nichols. House five, Shannon Sharp, Joe Buck, Ernie Johnson, Bill Rafferty, Maria Taylor, Jessica Mendoza. And house six is Max Kellerman, Mike Breen, Kurt Menefee, Charles Barkley, Tracy Wolfson, Mina Kimes.
Okay, I'm going to house six, and I'm hanging with Mina Kimes and Charles Barkley exclusively.
That sounds good to me. That Bill Raftery.
With Chuck and Mina.
That Bill Raftery house doesn't sound that bad.
Shannon Sharp, Joe Buck, Ernie Johnson, Bill Raftery, Maria Taylor, Jessica Mendoza. Sharp.
Yeah, Maria and Jessica are great, too.
Yeah.
Joe Buck's fun.
Yeah, you know what, guys? Everybody in the industry is awesome. And we would be lucky to be in any house.
Again, another game we absolutely failed at. Do we have time for another voicemail?
You know we do, Katie. Let's get into it.
Hey, Katie, Ashley, and Jay. My name is Megan. I am from Maine. And so I was thinking about Katie was talking about watching the Godzilla movie from 1998, and I want to know, what is the weirdest soundtrack that you remember owning? Thinking back to some of the weird CDs that I had in my collection, Godzilla was definitely one of them. I also got, as a gift for Christmas, the Scream 3 soundtrack.
This year?
Yeah, I don't really know why I ever thought those were super great, but I did at the time, apparently. So, thanks. I love you guys, and I mean it.
Oh, what a question, Megan. That's so fun. Like, soundtracks used to be the jam.
Yeah,
that was how you found stuff. Like, I remember, Garden State soundtrack was incredible. I want to say, Van Wilder had a really good soundtrack. But you don't really do that anymore. But as far as weird ones that I owned, I believe I owned the Michael soundtrack.
What?
Remember the movie where John Travolta is a, wasn't it called Michael? Or am I thinking of, am I getting two movies confused? What's the movie with John Travolta where he's like on a farm and he has like magic abilities?
No idea. I'm going to throw that into Google, see what it comes up with.
That's crazy. There was
also like a Nick Cage romantic movie that had an Alanis song on it. Like Angels of L.A.
Phenomenon?
Armageddon? Was it the Armageddon soundtrack?
Phenomenon. That's it. Because I think it had that that song by Bob Dylan. I think the Wallflowers had a song on that.
Man.
Mm. Yeah, that tracks.
Right? And I City of Angels. Oh, that's the other one.
City of Angels.
With Nicolas Cage and Meg Ryan. I had that soundtrack. Yeah. I'll have to pull what was on that because I don't know why I had it. And then, but the main one I...
Go ahead.
I was going to say the main one I remember is I had the Prince of Egypt soundtrack because I never saw that movie, but it had that banger with Mariah and Whitney and it was so good. And I bought the whole soundtrack.
This is a weird aside, but I'm making Passover Seder for tomorrow night for everyone. And my friend who is one of my friends who's here is Catholic. And she's like, oh, I know the story of Passover. It's just like Prince of Egypt. And she starts telling me everything that happened in the movie and how much of a banger that Whitney song was. And I was like, she's like, we have to watch it before Seder. I'm like, we can watch it after Seder, after you know the real story.
That's funny.
But the one soundtrack that I remember very specifically is the soundtrack to Wild
Wild West.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yeah. I had two that had never seen the movie, Reality Bites and Reservoir Dogs, just because they were good soundtracks.
Reality Bites soundtrack they were really both good. Great.
That Thing You Do, I loved. But probably the weirdest one is The Phantom of the Opera, which was the first CD that I owned as well.
That's not weird. It's a musical.
That's a weird CD to own when you're in first grade, I think. It's not great.
City of Angels had Uninvited by Alanis Morissette on it, and I loved that song. That's why I got it. Angel by Sarah McLachlan. Iris by Goo Goo Dolls.
Oh, man.
Crushing it. I really love that song.
Let me look up Phenomenon. Because that, why did I have that?
The Empire Records soundtrack, I remember, was really good, too.
Oh, of course. Phenomenon had Change the World by Eric Clapton. That was the big one. If I could change the world. I think that was why we had it. Other than that, there's nothing on here that I recognize. So, pretty strange choice. That's a great question. A very good question. Thank you for asking it, Megan. Guys... I know it's so short, and we only had you for a little bit of time, but I think that's it for this week's edition of Sports. Shout out to Ritual, and again, apologies to Coors Light. They just keep getting the singing ad read on Zoom, so it's not great. Shout out to the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny. It's football. It's Mina. It's a very cute dog that may become a suitor of my very cute dog, I was gonna say. Age ain't nothing but a number. What more could you ask for? Go get that wherever you get your podcast. Big thanks to you guys for listening. I know things are weird and everything sucks. One thing that might suck might be this podcast, but we have a lot of fun making it and it's actually keeping us sane. So hopefully just listening to three people babble about nothing with a little bit of a delay is also helping you stay sane. That's what we want for you. Hearing Ashley whisper talk a song just a little bit behind the song, maybe that does it for you. Me blasting French music so loud that Jay becomes an angry Frenchman. Maybe these are the things that just you needed, you know? So just listen to it as many times as you feel like. We love you. Or you could always just leave us a nice review wherever you're listening to this podcast, which we read and we love, like this one from Mary Kate S. that says, need something to make you laugh out loud while working as an essential worker during a pandemic? Then look no further than the backlog of this podcast that will remind you of recent history and occasionally sports. But seriously, if I have to constantly restock toilet paper that people will frantically buy, being able to listen to Katie, Ashley, and Jay while getting paid makes it worth it. Mary Kate, shout out to you. The S there stands for shout out to you, Mary Kate, because that sounds tough. And I know it's tough, but you've got to go to work and we appreciate you and we're thinking of you. We hope you stay healthy. And I'm glad that this weird-ass podcast can somehow accompany you and help you through your day. But lastly, don't forget that you can always...
Leave us a voicemail! Jay just said, wow.
Why would you choose now to change it up? Why would you choose now to change... I just said maybe we're just providing some stability in their lives, and you're like, remix!
Hold on.
Leave us a voicemail.
Yeah.
At 860-506-5571. We're done here. Say goodbye, Ashley, in a normal voice.
Say goodbye, Jay.
Bye.
Bye. I did
it. Oh, it's so bad.
We did it.
SimpliSafe Home Security is like getting commercial-grade, enterprise-level security, but for your own home. Think about the security Fortune 500 companies use. They need to know police are going to be on the scene immediately. This is exactly the kind of security you get with SimpliSafe. If there's a break-in, SimpliSafe uses real video evidence to give police an eyewitness account of the crime. And that means police dispatch up to 350% faster than for a normal burglar alarm. With SimpliSafe, you get comprehensive protection for your home. Outdoor cameras and doorbells alert you to anyone approaching your home. Entry, motion, and glass break sensors guard inside. Plus, SimpliSafe protects your home from fires, water damage, and carbon monoxide poisoning. It's all monitored 24/7 by live security professionals. You can set up your system yourself with no tools needed, or SimpliSafe's experts can do it for you. And it's only 50 cents a day with no contracts. Go to simplisafe.com/Nolan today to get free shipping on your order, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee. That's simplisafe.com/Nolan to save on home security today. Simplisafe.com/Nolan.